Blog Talk Radio.
Salam to Tenais Talin. Greetings. This is Yadin. This is Ras Ayadonis Tafari. Yadin here, here, here. Here the Tuesday podcast, the TDT, the Ras Tafari podcast. Here the third day of the Shabuah, third day of this week here. We have the 48th sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong, known as Shoftim. What is Shoftim? Shoftim means judges. Judges. So here, picking up here with the 48th sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong, also to testify right here. Been having some technological, in the background, as it's affected adversely some areas of the service with the blog talk, sometimes dropping out a little bit early. And we've had to go on the live stream on the YouTube, so Rastafari Israelites, the full right there. And behind the scenes, there's a lot of different technological things with cell phones, 5G, new towers. And just today, actually, we get an indication from our particular provider, cell phone technology provider, one of them being T-Mobile and the whole Metro PC, the conglomerate. Many ones who have called into the podcast of T-Mobile, they're being charged or have been charged $0.01 per minute surcharge. Even the hosts, we have gone through that until we complained, to the blog talk, and they gave us a bypass number for the hosts. They used to give one for the callers. This is why we had certain, different numbers, over the years, to call in with this number or this number or this number, at least three numbers we had, and we will put the one with no surcharge forward for the T-Mobile, Metro PCS, and whoever else comes into their conglomerate. As they come into the conglomerate, they all come under the, what we call the T-Mobile kind of rule. So for ones and ones, if you hear about ones, I used to call in, but they're trying to make money. They're trying to charge me $0.01 a minute. Well, it's not us. Mm-mm. It's not us. It's not I and I. It's not LOJ. It's not I, Ross, I, Donis, Safari. None of that comes to us. None of that comes to the mission, to the ministry. That goes directly to your cell phone provider. That's their rules and their law. All right. This is why we're studying our law our way. And that's what we must do our way. Otherwise, by default, we fall under their way, the way of the world, flesh, satanic, the claw. Yes, we are in the world, not to be of the world. So let's continue to study to grow in grace and knowledge. But just to update ones and ones on that particular matter, and hopefully ones can share this with others as well. Just for FYI, for your information regarding some of the technologicals. Now, we can't even guarantee the full into that third hour. We'll do our best and bless brothers and sisters. So let's just start out right here. So apologies as best as we can, apologetics, on the technological matters, because it's really presently out of our hands or full control, because this is the same cell phone providers and Wi-Fi and technology providers, like also Optimum. Optimum been all right, but sometimes, Optimum is where we have our, Wi-Fi, other connection here in the ministry, and our cell phone, the main number that we utilize to call in to host the podcast is on the T-Mobile Metro PCS. So with that being said, let us ride on, move forward, And let us keep them in our prayers, too. As he says, let's pray, right, to pray for them. Why do we pray for them? That we may have a quiet and a peaceable life and liberty. Here in the testimony of the divine magic. Come on, how to say, Hashem Yeshua HaMoshiach.
I'm going to testify.
Glory to the Most High Jah, Rastafari, King of Kings, Lords of Lords, Conquering Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Elect of God, Light of the World, is His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie. protect my son David as he travels this lonely path. Steer my son far from bloody men who surround him with opinions sharp as daggers. Bless him with a vision to distinguish friends from foes. Bless his listeners with overstanding and patience. Remind the critics that all judgment belongs to thee. May the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy presence, Selah.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
So here, starting out the evening psalm, the psalm that's appointed here for the third day, that's called Tuesday. We have Psalm 82. And now 82, the connection here is the 48th sabbatical study for Shoftim, where it says Shoftim or Shotarim. Judges and officers shall I and I set and establish in all I and I gates, for the purpose of even the psalm, what the psalm speaks of. Psalm 82, the evening psalm, it speaks about corrupt judges, the Shoftim, those who serve, Hebraically speaking, as the Elohim. They are the Elohim. We see the Elohim on earth. They're the ones in our community, according to Jatorah, right, that particular word points to. Are ye not as? You know, are ye not? Have I not said that ye are Elohim? Here, Chavarim. Let's write up the evening psalm and then get into a little full of a reasonment right here. Theme Elohim.
Yainan ayyano, yasammanana awakno, yadastasanana aganyano, yabrahamana amlak, yamiayanana geta, El Rohim.
Psalm 82.
Mizmor pevet, mizmor leasavor 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 leasavor.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty.
Elohim nitzav ba'adat el, 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 el.
He judgeth among the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods. The God.
Bekerev
Elohim
Yishpot.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Inherit all nations. Inherit all nations. Inherit all
nations. Hello.
Yes. The theme, Chavarim. The theme here is Elohim. So here, the evening psalm for the third day, that's known as Tuesday. Here we have the 82nd psalm, as we had shared right there in the opening, right? In the opening verse right there, right? God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, right? He judgeth, right, amongst the gods, right? He judgeth among the judges. I don't know if you heard that right there. Let's just play that one more time right there just to hear this, and then we're going to reasonment. How's it connected here with the Shoftim, right, for the Shabbat Shoftim, We're here at Shabbat Shoftim. What's the connection between the Elohim and the true interpretation, the true context, right, of Psalm 82, verse 6?
Psalm 82.
Mizmor Pevet.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty.
Elohim nitzav ba'adat el.
He judgeth among the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods. The God.
Bekerev Elohim Yishkot. Elohim Yishkot.
Right there, Now the KJV, brings out the translation like this, the King James Version. And here we're looking at Psalm 82. Now the Chabarim no doubt will know that we have, you know, gone over this even before at other Tuesday, Testify Tuesday, and also linking it with the Torah, what the Torah actually says, and also the unique, the Hebrew context, right? So interpreting this Psalm, Psalm 82, in context, we get the context of the God. So it says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Now the Hebrew, Mizmor le'asaf, Psalm of Asaf, Mizmor le'Asaf. Usually it's le'Dawid, but here le'Asaf, of Asaf. First verse, Elohim nitzav ba'adat el. Elohim, God standeth in the congregation of God. Here from the Hebrew, it's translated as God standeth in the congregation of God. Elohim nitzav standeth ba'edat, in the edat is the congregation, ba'edat from the root of ad, the ed, witness, ba'edat el, in the congregation of el, of el. Second part of the first verse, bikarev Elohim yishpot, bikarev. Kerev, the Kerev, the center in the midst. Be by way of in Kerev, in the Kerev, in the midst, Elohim. In the midst of the Elohim, Yishpot, he judges, he Shafat, Mishpat, judgment, Jehoshaphat, we have Jehoshaphat, Safat, Shafat, judgment. Here we have Yishpot, he judges. Now, looking at the English, Elohim, or God, it says, standeth in the congregation of the mighty, right? The mighty. That word there, mighty, is the word El, right? The El. And El, right here, is the Hebrew, right? The all-powerful, the almighty. Properly in Hebrew, El is almighty. El, the almighty, the God, the power, right? In the Hebrew, it is related to the Hayel, right? Hayel. So here it says the Elohim, right? The heavenly judge standeth. The verb is not the usual one denoting the opposite of sitting. It's not the kum or the kam. It's not the kam or the kum. It's a natsav. Here we have nitsav, right? It conveys the idea in the Hebrew of taking up a position, right? Stand your position, taking a position for a solemn, for a set apart purpose. And here we have the connection even in Deuteronomy, here this fifth book of Moshe that we are in presently here in the season. We have Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9. When we read and study Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9, we'll see the connection of the verb, the nitzav, right? And that's the Torah portion, if we correct, the nitzavim. Atem nitzavim, you all standing, y'all who stand, y'all who are standing in the Hebrew. Atem, all of you, atem, you all, speaking to a group of males, particularly the Bnei Yisrael, Nitzabim, standing ones. All of y'all are standing ones. And this was when the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, stood to ratify, to put in effect Habrit, to put in effect the covenant, right? The covenant. I brought that word out so one can understand the context of the Hebrew, which only makes sense out of the real meaning of this psalm, because many ones and ones looking from the translation and not having a groundation, a foundation Hebraically in the context, you know, it's possible for ones to interpret or rather to misinterpret outside the Hebrew context. Verse 6, where it says, I have said, ye y'all are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So there are various interpretations that are outside the Hebrew context, outside the context of the language, the context of Torah. We can call them profane, because profane literally means something that's profane is outside of the temple. Something that's profane is outside of the holy place. So there's many profane interpretations concerning what the gods or the Elohim means. Some modern commentators, they consider that what we have in Psalm 82 is like a heavenly assize, like some say a heavenly assembly, right? And a heavenly assembly, like some angels or tutelary gods of other peoples, heathen people, other nations. Here they're being summoned because they permitted acts of violence against the innocent. This is one of the modern profane interpretations of the context of Elohim. Some look at Elohim here to mean the angels, that the angels are called Elohim. All of this is outside of the Torah and the Hebrew context. In other words, if we were Hebrew-speaking people, biblical, scriptural Hebrew-speaking people, and we heard of these different interpretations, right, and we're Torah observant, we would know that that is heathen, that's profane, that's going after Elohim Acharim, other people's Elohim, strange Elohim, Elohims that we did not even know. Part of the reason we can come to this conclusion without going deep in Torah studies is just look at the sentence that's passed upon the accused. It says, y'all shall die like men, right? This is an idea that when one's connected with so-called angels, angels dying like men, this is foreign to the Hebraic, to the Torah, the scriptural thought, right? In support of the true reading of the psalm, there's a close parallel in the scene that's found in Yeshayahu, in Esaias, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 14, right? And there are circumstances that are similar also in Psalm LVIII or in Psalm 58. But in context here, we have Elohim, the Elohim, before whom there was no Elohim, and after whom there be no Elohim. We're speaking of Yahweh, hey, Yahweh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, who says that I, that he be Elohim, that before him there were no Elohim, and after him there is no other, there's no Elohim other than him. He know of no Elohim, but he who be who he be, Ha Elohim, Ha-Elohim, and he is the creator, and he is the judge of judges. All right. So here in the context of the first part of the verse that in the King James Version is brought out as God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. That's the KJV translation. Elohim standeth in the congregation of El. Elohim standeth in the congregation of El. Elohim standeth in the congregation of the Almighty, the All-Powerful One. The second part of the verse is very curious how the translator brings it out. In the King James Version, he judgeth among the gods, right? But see, if this was supposed to be translated directly like the Hebrew, they should have said gods standeth in the congregation of the God, of the Almighty. He judgeth among the gods. But then in that interpretation, what is lost in translation is the meaning of Elohim, according to the Hebrew thought, according to the Torah thought, right, according to the context of the covenant-keeping people, right? So we just want to zoom in on that because as we study the Torah, right, Hebraically and looking at the translation side by side, we clearly see where the Elohim is applied to the Shoftim, to the judges, and by extension to the Shoftim and the Shotarim, to the judges and to the officers. And this Torah reading and feeding right here that we're in, right, this 48 sabbatical study, it really brings it more full, right? Now, we're going to return to that momentarily, but here, you know, for this sabbatical study, for this Shabbat Shong, it will be good for I and I to go over the first day the second day Aliyah. So the first day would be like what they call the Sunday, the first day of the Shavuah. Second day is the moon day, Yom HaSheni. And here we're at the Yom HaShalishi. Here we're at the third day. This is how Hebraically we count the days. The days have numbers. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And then we have the Shabbat, right? Then we have the Shabbat day. All right, so it's basically all about the Shabbat, and the word referred to the week is Shavuah. Shavuah, modern Hebrew, Shavuah. Shavuah from the Sheba, right, from the key indication of the seven. So here, let's write up right here for the first, second, and third day, and hopefully this will become more clear and also further reasoning on the importance of Psalm 82 and the correct translation and interpretation in the Hebrew in the Torah context. In other words, it's how the original writers, how they saw it, and how translators have translated what they have translated, but what's the true context, beginning with the Masoret Tawi Kwankwa Ivrayist. In other words, beginning with the foundational language, as Haile Selassie the first says, the Hebrew. Second part of the verse, in the midst of the Elohim, he judges. In the midst of the Elohim, b'karev Elohim yishpot. Now, the idea of Elohim as gods, as we say other gods, is foreign in this sense. Here it's speaking of the Elohim. It's speaking of he who be who he be, Jah, Jehovah. He is Ha Elohim. He is the Elohim, the true Elohim, the true God. And when we say El, we're saying El in the sense of he is the power. He is the Almighty. He is the Almighty. So we have Elohim and we have El. So Elohim Nitzav. Elohim standeth. Elohim is the name that we use in the Hebrew for in two aspects of Jehovah, of Yahweh. One aspect is the creator. Even in Bereshit, we have Elohim there. The second aspect in the Hebrew that is lost to the foreign mind is of judge and judgment. So in reading the Hebrew and seeing the Elohim name in predominance in a certain area, say, for example, the Psalms, we can tell that this psalm is as one in court would be appealing to the judge for judgment. We know that the psalm is speaking, or the area is speaking of the creator, the Almighty, in the sense of the judge of judge, the God of gods, so to speak. But also Elohim is applied according to Exodus chapter 26, right? Look at the English and look at the interlinear and the Hebrew. Exodus chapter 26 and 6, chapter 21 and 6. Exodus chapter 21, verse 6. Exodus chapter 22, verses 7, verse 8, verse 27. And 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25, right? The judges, right? The judges here being called the Elohim, right, based on the principle of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. So what does Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17 say? Let's just go here. See, it's easy for one just to pop off in a psalm, right, that's been translated by foreigners for you, and to say, make up any kind of philosophy off of it, right, and even try to retrograde it into Hebrew. But coming forward from the Hebrew, you can see a lot of these things don't make sense. So verse 17 says this in Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moshe called Deuteronomy, the Sefer HaDebarim. It says, y'all or ye shall not respect persons in judgment, have a partiality to faces, but y'all shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye, y'all shall not be afraid of the face of man. For here's the key phrase, for the judgment is Ha'ilahim, is Ha'Elohim, is the Elohim's. For the judgment is the Elohim's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring to me to I, and I will hear it. Now, that's one of the places that lays down the principle. So in the principle is that all judgment, all true judgment, is based on Ha'ilahim, Yahuwah, Eloheinos, our Elohim's, his Torah, his direction, his instruction. And the men, the shoftim, the judges, the shotarim, the officers, the men who administer justice, right, in the covenant community among the Beit Yisrael, among Jah people, the men who administer justice, tzedek, right, justice, righteousness, are considered to be his agents. and they exercise, these judges, as well as the officers, they exercise a Elohim-like function. And as such, they have Shemo, his name, Bahashem, Shemo, his name attached to them. Now, once we see that in its proper context, that Psalm 82, Mizmor Feveit, Pebeit, Psalm 82, is corrupt judges being arraigned. And these judges are not some foreign gods or some pseudo angels or other kind of spooky stuff. It's not speaking about none of that. It's speaking about, why is there no justice and peace among Kol Yisrael? Basically, this psalm is like asking that question. Why is there no justice and peace? Why do Jah people go to foreign people for justice, go to foreign people who just wrote and made up their own Frankenstein laws? Why do they go to these? Why don't they have justice and peace in their own community? Speaking of Yisrael, it's because those men who administer justice, who are his agents, because they're his agents, they have his name and his title, Elohim, attached to them. So the Elohim, Elohei, Ha Elohim, Elohei, the Elohim of Ha Elohim, of the Elohim, the God of gods, now is calling the men, the Shoftim and the Shotarim of Kol Yisrael into judgment. We find this in many areas of the scripture. When the people are going wrong, Jah don't like the people going wrong, but then he puts the blame on those who had the responsibility, right, to teach and to show a better example. It's like when Rabbeinu Yeshua, Einai Rabbi, the Rabbi Yeshua HaMoshiach, when he points out the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, the other ones who they had the keys of the kingdom, he says. They had the keys of the government of the kingdom, but they did not enter in. They did not go into those studies. They were the keepers of the scripture, the keeper of the scrolls, the Bible. They were the ones that were supposedly supposed to be learned in it and guiding the people rightly, but it was them that was doing the most wrongly. It's like when we went into John chapter 7 from the previous Shabbat Re'eh, right? And we brought out a little bit of an emphasis when they said that the people that don't know the Torah, the same people who are responsible for teaching the people HaTorah, they said against the people because the people were saying that Yeshua is either that prophet likened to Moses or he is HaMoshiach. And because they disagreed with that, they said, these people are stupid. These people are cursed. The people that don't know HaTorah are cursed. What's so ironic about that in John's Gospel, chapter 7, if we're correct, verse 42, what's so ironic when you zoom out and you put it in context, they basically condemn themselves because they were the ones who were responsible, as Yeshua said to them, as Rabbeinu said to them, you know, y'all have the keys of the kingdom. Y'all have the Torah. You're the one in the community that the community supports to study Torah, whether in the local synagogues, the local Hebrew churches, or in the tabernacle. You're the men that are studying this, but yet you're keeping these things to yourself. You're not even living it right by yourself, and you're misdirecting the people. That's why they was upset with Rabbeinu Yeshua. That's why we say he's the rabbi of rabbis. They were upset with him because he was pointing out their hypocrisy, and he was explaining these deep areas of Torah to the people of the land very simply. That's why they expressed their fret and their fear, their pahad, right, their dread, when they said, oh, if he continues, if Yeshua continues, then he's going to take away, you know, the temple. He's going to take away all of our authority that they had received under the Romans. It reminds me of many of the preachers and the pastors and others that know that the once lost now found are Yisrael, know that they're that people of the book. But because of the world flesh and satanic seclorum, they might tell you that quietly and privily, you know, and outside of the pulpit, but that is not what they are teaching the people. But then they'll turn around and say, oh, whoa, 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 look at the people. These people are so ungodly, and yet in our neighbors we have more churches than anywhere else, but yet morally, right, we will be below everyone else. Why is that? Because these are the fingerprints of Yisrael, of Yasharallah. These are the fingerprints. In fact, I saw Sahilab go black to Africa. He loved to go black to Africa. He has a video like Americans. It's called Americans. Why are white people? What's this video called? Let me get the name of this video. I want the item to check this video out. Also to check out the channel provider. Where is this video right here? I want to get this name of this video. No, it was sent to I. But it was a white Christian, maybe Jewish, you know, somehow, maybe has some Jewishness, you know, about him. But anyway, he was basically speaking on, okay, here it goes right here. Americans, is he right in what he says about black people? It's on the Go Black to Africa channel. Americans, is he right about what he says about black people? Right? And it's so very interesting because he is saying the truth that a lot of I and I and different camps, different Israelites, in my father's house is many mansions, but different ones, we all kind of all agreed on these basic ABCs of our identity. We're agreed on that. Other aspects, well, you know, my father's house, but still the foundation, the core curriculum, we're agreed on. And how a lot of black people, by hearing a white man or someone else say that, they might say, maybe he has something there. Or maybe the Israelites, or maybe the Rastafari Israelites, maybe I and I are correct. But it's just interesting that we have to hear this from the others, right? Because as this psalm here says, it says, how long, right, will ye judge unjustly? So when a black man tell you the same truth and you hear it from someone else, you don't believe the black man, but you believe somebody else. Even though the black man gave you the same evidence that the other people gave you. And accept the persons of the wicked. So you accept it from one face, right? But you don't respect your own so-called black face, right? Selah, right? Well, forget about even respecting. We shouldn't have a respect of person. You don't hear the truth, right? You don't hear the spirit. He who have ears to hear, let him hear what the spirit says. But it's not the physical ear. It's a spiritual. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. So here is the judgment on our own judges. When I say judges in the Hebrew sense, shoftim, but those who serve as the Elohim. And there's more indication in Torah that points this out. We're just pointing this out right here, because here we're in this 48th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong. And let's give ear and hear the first, second, and third. It's brief right here, brothers and sisters. Aliyot here, bringing us to the third day of this Shabuah here for this Shabbat Shoftim, Sabbath Judges, 48th sabbatical study.
Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Glory be. Glory be. We're going to ride up here
for this Sabbath Judges, Shabbat Shoftim, for this sabbatical study,
this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat Shoftim, Sabbath Judges, Senbet Farajot. Here picking up with the fifth book of Moses, of Moshe, the Hebrew book that is called Deuteronomy. Picking up here in Deuteronomy. Give ear. Shalom, Chavarim. Shabbat Shalom for this Shabbat Shoftim, Sabbath Judges, Senbet Farajot. Hear. Shema'ah, 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 Shema'ah. Give ear. Hear for the Rishon, the Rishon Aliyah for the first reading, the first up offering for this 48th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong, this Shabbat Shoftim, Sabbath Judges. Senbet Farajot. Here picking up with the fifth book of Moses, of Moshe, the Hebrew book that is called Deuteronomy. Picking up here in Deuteronomy chapter 16, here at verse 18, judges in the gates here for the first Aliyah, the Rishon Aliyah for this Shabbat up offering up here. And here the first words for this 48th Torah portion, reading and feeding. Shoftim with Shotrim titen leka bikol she'areka asher yahweh eloheka noten leka lishabateka ve'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee I in all thy gates. Shoftim with shotrim titen leka bekol she'areka. Which who Yahweh Eloheka, who Jehovah the I Elohim giveth thee throughout thy tribes. Asher Yahweh Eloheka noten leka lisha barteka. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. We shafatu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. Thou shalt not rest judgment, shall not wrestle judgment. Thou shalt not respect or aspect persons, neither take a gift, a bribe. For a gift, a bribe, doth blind the eyes of the wise, and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which Yahweh Eloheka giveth thee. Justice, shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which Yahuwah Eloheka giveth thee I. Tzedek, tzedek tirdof, lima'ana tichyeh, v'yarashta et ha'aretz asher Yahuwah Eloheka noten lak. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near to the altar, the Mizbeach, HaMizbeach of Yahweh Eloheka, of Jehovah, the I Elohim, which that thou shalt make. Neither shalt thou set thee up any image which Yahweh Eloheka hateth. Thou shalt not plant thee an asherah of any kind of tree beside the altar, the Mizbeach, Yahweh Eloheka, of Jehovah, the I Elohim, which thou shalt make thee I. Neither shalt thou set thee up a pillar which Yahweh Eloheka hateth. And hear, Shema Yisrael, hear, give ear. Fifth book of Moses, Hebrew book called Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 17. Offerings must be unblemished. Thou shalt not sacrifice la Yahweh Eloheka to Jehovah the I Elohim any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or any evil flavoredness, for that is an abomination la Yahweh Eloheka to Jehovah the I Elohim. Idolaters to be stoned. Verse 2. If there be found among you within any of thy gates which Yahweh Eloheka, which Jehovah the I Elohim giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness, ratchetness in the sight of Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, in transgressing his covenant, and have gone and served Elohim, Acharim, other Elohim, and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded. And it be told thee, I, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought, is done in Israel. Then shalt thou bring forth that man, that man, or that woman, which who have committed that wicked, that ratchet thing, to thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. Obedience to authority. Verse 8. If there arise a matter too hard for thee, in judgment between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up to the place into Hamakom, which Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, shall choose. And thou shalt come to the priest, HaKohanim, the Levite, HaLewim, and to the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire, and they shall shew thee the sentence of judgment, and thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place, which Yahweh Jehovah shall choose, shall shew thee, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of HaTorah, the law, which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand or nor to the left, and the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken to HaKohen, to the Kohen, to the priest that standeth to minister there, lifnei Yahweh Eloheka, before Jehovah the Elohim, or to the judge, even that man, that man, shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel, and all the people, Ha'am, shall hear and fear and respect reverence, and do no more presumptuous. And here for the second up offering, for the second reading, here for this Shabbat Shoftim, Senbet Farajot. Here picking up with the fifth book of Moses, Moshe, the Hebrew book called Deuteronomy chapter 17, here at verse 14, concerning a king, concerning a melech, concerning a negus. Here for the Sheni, the second reading, the second aliyah, the second up offering up for this Shabbat Shoftim. Ki atabo iliyah ha'aretza asheri Yahweh Eloheka noten alak. We are rishta with Ya Shabtaha Baha We Amarta Asima Alaya Meleka Kol Hagoyim Asher Se Babotai. Hear, the second reading, the second aliyah of offering for Shabbat Shoftim, concerning a king. When thou art come to the land which Yahweh Elohecha giveth thee, I, and shall possess it, and shall possess her, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, over I, like as all the nations, the goyim, ha-goyim, the nationalities, the nations that are about me, about I. Ki atabo iliyaha aretza asheri Yahweh Eloheka noten lak. We are rishataha. We yashabataha bah. We amarta. Sima alai melek kukol ha-goyim asher se-bi-abotai. Thou shalt in any wise set him king, melek, even the goose over thee, I, whom Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim shall choose. One, from among thy brethren shalt thou set king, melek, Negus over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother, not Achika, not Wendemith. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Mitzrayim, to Kemet, to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as Yahweh Jehovah have said to you, ye, y'all, shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law, this Torah, this direction, instruction, in a book, a cipher, out of that which is before HaKohanim, HaLewim, the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear, to reverence, to respect Yahweh Elohayo, respect Jehovah Elohayo, his Elohim, to keep all the words, the Devarim, of this Torah, of this law, this direction, instruction, and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days, his kingdom, and his government, he and his children in the midst of Yisrael.
Yes. So here. For this, here we add, the first and the second aliyah. Now, what's very interesting right here, I'm going to go to the third day aliyah, but just building right here. So we was in chapter 17, Habarim, chapter 17, that was the section there, the second aliyah, beginning at verse 14, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14, and that's concerning a melech. Melech in the Hebrew, the negus, the king, a sovereign. Concerning a melech, the direction, instruction concerning a melech. I find that to be very interesting, especially when we compare what's written here with Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. Weep not, behold, the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to do what? right, to open the book, right, and to loose the seven seals thereof. So we see right here in chapter 17 at verse 14, which begins the second aliyah here for Shabbat Shoftim, for Senbet Farajoch, Farajoch Bamarinya, corresponding to Shoftim, judges. Verse 14 to verse 20 is the second aliyah. So we say aliyah day, there are seven aliyahs from the sabbatical, the Torah reading and feeding, and there's seven readings and seven parts. We say an aliyah day. So for the second aliyah, it says, when thou art come into the land, when thou art come where? Into the land that Yahweh Eloheka, that Jehovah thy Elohim giveth thee, and shall possess it, or possess her. Possess her in the language, right? Hebrew and Amharic, possess her, she, the land, and shall dwell therein, dwell in her, and shall say. So when we come into land and we possess the land, right, we say we have the management, you know, of the land, the control, prefer the word management, the man, you know, the management of her, as well as we dwell in her, and we shall say, I will set a melech, I will set a king, a negus, a sovereign over me, like as all the nations, the goyim, the ahzab, all the other nationality, all the other people that are about me. So this has a prophetic aspect here in the chronology of the revelation. Here in the wilderness, they're getting the direction, instruction, the new generation poised to go in, right, to go in and to inherit the land. And in looking forward, right, Moshe brings forward this instruction that when we are come, that says thou, because here, once again, is speaking of Kol Yisrael, of all of Israel, as one man. In the science of the Hebrew language, it's interesting how we have the singular, right, and the plural context. So it says, when thou, the thou is like you male, when ata, you male, are come into the land. Not talking about just one man, but all of us as one corporate body, as that son. He said, Yisrael, Yasharala, is my son. So he's speaking to all of us as one man, one heart, one Torah, one direction. When thou art come into the land that Yahweh Eloheka, Eloheka, thy male God, once again reinforcing the Atta, right, the singular male, that all of us is as one man. This reminds me of the Brit Chadasha, where it says that Moshiach, right, the Messiah, he is the head, and we are members of the body. Right, that called out assembly, that's called the church. But remember, in the New Testament, it says the church that was in the wilderness. For the church, in the true context, is the assembly, I and I, right? As that body, we say, of Moshiach, that body, right? And Moshiach, Yahweh, as the head. And we would dwell, right, in the land. We will begin to say, you know, look at all the other people, they have kings. True. Yahweh, he is the king of kings, Jehovah, but we need a man king like the other nations have kings, right? It said that this would happen, and if you go forward to the time of Shemuel, of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 5 and 19 and 20, we get to see where this word from Torah, right, this prophecy or looking forward, right, actually had come to pass. And we find that Shemuel, Samuel, right, was not very happy about this, you know, set of circumstances. Of course, Samuel knew what Torah said, but Samuel gives a very interesting, we could say, a retort or an argument. His argument is that Yahweh, Jehovah, he is king. He is even king of kings. What does Rabbeinu Yeshua says? No, he says that Elohim, right, is spirit. Right, and the true worshipers, he seek to worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. So theocracy, here we have Yisrael demanding a king in First Samuel chapter 8. Israel demands a king. And it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons. Samuel made his sons judges, Shoftim, judges over Yisrael, over Yasharala. Because the judge had to be informed, right, with Torah, right? Had to be informed with Torah, had to be trained in Torah. And we say the judges are the Elohim, The judges collectively, the shoftim, which means judges, a shofet is one judge, but collectively they are the Elohim. And in other words, we give them that respect, and they consequently and vis-a-vis do things according to, we said, the teaching of His Majesty, the HaTorah, according to His glory. So Shemuel appointed and made his sons, right? Banav, Banayo, his sons, shoftim, judges, over Yisrael. Now, what we find to be interesting about this right here, it doves, right? It doves with what we have here in this Torah reading and feeding for Shabbat Shoftim here in Deuteronomy chapter 17, particularly, you know, in this section right here concerning the theocracy and Yisrael's demand, right? Israel demanded a man, a flesh king, just like the other nation had man, flesh king. Basically, he already was king. Yahuwah was king. But he was king in I and I. He was that spirit in I and I. When we kept his word and his way, he walked amongst us and in us. But we start to look outside of ourselves, right? Right? They start to look outside of themselves. Now, the name of his firstborn, Shemuel, Samuel's firstborn, was Joel. And the name of his second, right, was Abiah, right? They were judges, shoftim, in Be'er Sheva, and his sons, Banayo, they walked not in his ways. Check this, right? So we have Shemuel, no doubt he trained them, but his sons did not walk in his way, in his example, but turned aside after lucre, after filthy lucre. You know, after money, dollars and cents. They were money people. And they took bribes. Uh-oh. We know that that is not acceptable. And they perverted judgment. You know, and they perverted judgment, right? Because, you know, one person gave them a bribe, so they had a favoritism, a respect to that person and not to this person because they knew they were getting bribes from this person, right? And not getting bribes, you know, from that person, right? Then all the Ziknei Yisrael gathered themselves together and came to Shemuel to Ramah. And they said to him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons, right, Banecha, right, your sons, Banecha, they walk not in thy ways. We respect you. We honor you. We know that you are a man of Jehovah, but your sons are not like you. Father like son? Well, the sons like father, the sons were not like the father. And they said, now make us a melech, make us a king, like a man king, a flesh king, to judge us, to judge I and I, just like all the nations, just like the Goyim, the Ahzab, the other peoples, black, white, and otherwise, you know what I mean? The other peoples, the other nations, right? So can we say that Yisrael was losing? Were they losing that consciousness? They're looking at other people. Doesn't this happen? You hear even some of I-9 ones and say, well, the white man can't either way. How come the white man can get away and the black man can? The white man is, it's like, well, who are you? Do you know who you are? Verse 6 says, but the thing displeased Shemuel when they said, give us a melech, give us a man king to judge us. And Samuel prayed, Vayahawah, to Jehovah. Now, here, moving forward, we're in First Samuel chapter 8. Because here we want to bring out this point connected even with the psalm for the third day, right? The Tuesday psalm, the psalm appointed as chanted in the temple, right? In the ancient times, Psalm 82, that speak to corrupt judges arraign and the connection with the name and the title Elohim. So here we have the theocracy rejected. The theocracy was rejected. Right? In other words, the theocracy was already in effect, even in the Midbar, in the wilderness. The theocracy was already in effect, even from the first. Right? The theocracy that Jehovah is the king, even the king of kings. Jehovah, Yahweh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, is the God of gods, the Elohim of Elohim. Before him, there was no Elohim, and after him, there is no Elohim. There's no other Elohim, but he is the Elohim. Therefore, the judgment must be the Elohim, and the Shoftim of Yisrael are to judge according to his judgments, and they are his agents. And therefore, according to the Hebrew scriptures, right, in many significant places, like Psalm 82, verse 6, they are the ones being spoken to, not alien gods or some heavenly assize or some, you know, people somewhere else. No, it's not speaking of none of that. That's what the other heathen, the other nations thought, right? But that's because they were deceived. Just as they were deceived in having their own kings, now we get to see Israel seeking to do the same. But of course, John already knew these things. They end from the beginning. This is why we can point to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 to verse 20. And this is what the king, this is the rules and the regulations to govern any king upon, we could say, the throne of Israel, later the throne of David, right? And we see, especially in copying out the scriptures that are before the priests, we see a few kings do this. Among those few kings that did this, in particular, even the King of Kings, we not behold the conquering line of the tribe of Judah. This is why we speak about the book of the seven seals, the scripts, the Bible. We also see that King James, there also was a King James version, right? And these are the two particular kings throughout a long line of history where we see they actually fulfilled claiming this Davidic or Israelite connection, Jacobus connection, Jacobite connection, actually fulfill what we have in the king's rules and regulations in Torah. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 to 20 is where we zoom in. But the theocracy of Jehovah was rejected. If you look at the biblical prophecy from the beginning to the fulfillment in the Brit Hadashah, it seems to be that, yes, there would be kings and David and the king, the Messiah, according to the seed of David. But in the fullness of time, the kingship would be restored to Elohim, would be restored to God. In other words, it would be restored, right, to a aritical, a spiritual kingdom, right, without the necessity of having a flesh and blood man to stand place. But what the prophecy says is that Elohim himself, right, he would manifest himself to fulfill it. You know, it's almost like saying that y'all have tried and tried and tried. Now I'm going to send my word manifest as my son. And then I will come and confirm that word manifest as my son, the second advent. And after that, the kingdom is going to be restored, right? Return to Elohim as it was intended in the beginning. For example, in the Gan Eden, was not Elohim king, even King of Kings? He was King of Kings all that time, even before, you know, the trespass, the transgression in the garden. He was king. He was king all that time. And Shemuel, Samuel, understood this very intimately, right? It's interesting that even though Samuel was the righteous man that he was, his sons, as individuals or human beings, they made their own decisions, right? And they did not decide to follow in the righteous way of their father. So sometimes we have a righteous father and ratchet children, right? Sometimes we have a ratchet father and righteous children, as we have in the case of Korah, Korah. Remember the sons of Korah? It's interesting that Korah proved himself to be ratchet and his sons did not follow his ways. Here we have Shemuel, who had proved himself righteous, but his sons did not follow in his ways. And using this as a pretext, the Ziknei Yisrael, the elder of Israel, said, listen, we've been hearing a lot of good things about these other nations having their own king. We need our own king. Make us our own king. And Yahuwah, Jehovah, said to Shemuel, who had prayed to Jehovah concerning this, Jah says to Samuel, hearken to the voice of the people. Listen to them in all that they say to thee. It's interesting because the prophet is not wrong here. But John is saying, listen, I got this. I got this. Listen to the people. Hearken to them. Obey what they're saying, their voice to the people and all that they say to thee. For they have not rejected thee. They're not rejecting you, Shemuel. You did good. They even know this. They're not rejecting the I, but they have rejected I. They rejected me, Yahuwah says, that I should not reign over them. Check. They rejected Yahweh, and they wanted a man king because they wanted a man king because they figured they can manipulate a man king and they could be like other people. The grass is always greener, they say, right? Nay. Verse 8 say, according to all the works that they have done since the day that I brought them up, mi Mitzrayim, out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, the Hekapata, Egypta, Gibbet, Kemet, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me. They have left me, they forsaken me, and served other gods, Elohim Acharim. Because even the indication that they're looking at other people and say, we need to have a king like other people, it indicates that they're also serving these other gods, these other Elohim, these other theologies, you could say even anciently religions or interpretations, misinterpretation. So do they also to thee. So he's saying, almost like what Moshiach says to us, Rabbeinu Yeshua. He says, if they call him Beelzebub, right, or the devil, they call him nasty names, right? They're going to call us nasty names. They're going to call us Satans and devils and all that kind of, especially here in social media, of course they're going to do these things. But you know, don't fret. Don't fret that. It's not really you they're really against. It's really, right, the Most High. So brothers and sisters also in going in the integrity of the truth and preaching the word and people reject you, no, they're rejecting him. Right? And think about the example that we're getting right here. Verse 9, now therefore hearken to their voice. He says, listen to their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly to them. This reminds us in like parliamentary procedures, whether in the Federation or elsewhere, as we're supposed to govern, that if the people might choose something, right, okay, that's what they voted on. Was it a fair vote? But you know, for the record, I would like to, for the record, you know, like when somebody says, okay, I'm a part of this, I'm a part of this team right here, but this decision, I don't think is the right decision. And when they say, well, your objection duly noted. So this is what Jah is saying to Shemuel. Now, therefore, hearken to their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly to them. Like, okay, this is what, are you sure you want? Okay, but let me just say this to you, right? If you do this and shew them the manner, show them the manner of the king of Hamelech that shall reign over them. And Shemuel told all the words, the debarim of Yahweh to the people that ask of him a melech. They ask of him a negus. It's like right now when ones and ones are asking, you know, when they're talking about the restoration of what, the monarchy in Ethiopia. Really? How are you really going to do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, how are you really going to do that? I mean, I know it's a great idea, but why isn't it still there? What happened? I think we need to diligently investigate. We need to get justice, and we work out, well, why did they rebel against the King of Kings, the great transgression, the rebellion? How did that happen? That's what leads to another particular point right there, just concerning Ethiopia. I know many of I and I, fellow Hebrew and Israelite, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, have pointed to this right here. Let's see if we have this here on deck. Do we have this? Yeah, here it goes. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 12.
Ye Ethiopians, yes, also, ye shall be slain by my sword, 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 my sword. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword,
slain by my sword, slain by
ye Ethiopians also.
Also,
ye Ethiopians also,
and also,
ye Ethiopians also,
Ethiopians also,
Ethiopians also,
Ethiopians also,
ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword,
slain by my sword,
slain by my sword,
slain by
ye Ethiopians also, ye Ethiopians also,
also,
ye Ethiopians also,
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 Ethiopians
also, Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword, my sword. My sword, 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 my sword.
Is there anything that you don't understand? Is there anything that one don't understand, that one has a protest for that? We can't put Ethiopia or Ethiopians above Xavier, above Yahweh. We cannot. Right? Don't even try that. Don't matter how old the nation, the Almighty is before them all. Right. So here, Psalm 19, what does it say? Psalm 19, keep back thy servant also from the presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. It's interesting in the Hebrew, the Sefer Tehillim, one of the sources that was published by the Yehudim during the visible reign of Ketamawi Haile Selassie. It's interesting because next to that particular verse, it says rebellion against the King of Kings. The great transgression is that rebellion against the King of Kings. So they were seeking to put in effect a monarchy, right? And Jah said, yes, go along with them, but show them the manner, right? Show them the manner, right, of the king. And he said, right, this will be the manner of Hamelech, the king that shall reign over you. This is speaking to Israel from the beginning of monarchy. Here we have the beginning of it in 1 Samuel chapter 8. But in Deuteronomy chapter 17, Jah already said there will be days like these. And if there is a king and the king is a righteous king, this is what the righteous king shall do. Verse 11 says, and he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest. In other words, he'll basically employ your children and to make his instruments of war, manufacture, you know, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, your vineyards, and give to his officers, and to his servants. And he will take your men servants, and your maid servants, and your goodliest young men, and your asses, and put them to his work. Put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye, y'all shall be his servants. And y'all shall cry out in that day, because your king, your Melech, your Negus, that y'all have chosen you. And Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahweh will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey, right? They heard it, but they refused to be obedient, to go along with it. They shook their head at it. They refused to obey the voice of Shemuel, of Samuel. And they said to what Jah said to Samuel, right? Jah, a real prophet of Jah, you know, Samuel, a real prophet of Jehovah, said to him, gave him this instruction. He repeated this to the people, and people shook their head, and they say, nah, 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 but we will have a king over us. He said, forget what you're saying. We're going to have a king over us anyway. You know, they just flucked it away. You know, just flick that off. No, no. That we also may be like all the nations, that we can be like all the nations. And I see that a lot in many of the Rastas and some of the zealous monarchists, Ethiopians. That's what it's like. You know, they now look at England and say, look at that. England still has a queen and they have nobility, but look at us. You know, well, how did you get there? The great transgression. What was it about? There's still not justice for what took apart the monarchy, this 3,000-year-old Solomonic Davidic monarchy. They're still, people think they're going to walk away from it, do what they did to the divine majesty, the anointed king upon the throne of David. Then you're going to mosey back to it with no repentance or no nothing. Just forget about it. We don't want to talk about it. We just want a monarchy. Why you want a monarchy? Same reason why Israel wanted a monarchy, right? That we may also be like all the nations, other nations. And that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Wasn't that what Jah said that he would do? And he did? But he wanted a man king. Okay. And Shemuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of Yahweh. He rehearsed them. He went over them. He kept reasoning about them before Jehovah. Right? And Yahweh said to Shemuel, hearken to their voice. And make them a melech, make them a king, make them a negus. And Shemuel said to the men, the anshei Yisrael, the men of Israel, go y'all, every man to his city, go y'all. And this is how we get the first king, right? And the first, we could say, of the kings that were Christ, or the kings that were Messiah. Here's where we get the first Messiah in the kingship, right, of Israel. the first Messiah. I'm not talking about these other people's stuff and some other nation had somebody that had some oil on them. And now you say, well, look, use oil. And the Bible used oil. And this other nation that was existing before Israel, they use oil. So that's where you got it from. That's some nonsense. That's what other gods will do to you. You know, other intelligences that are not very intelligent. Right. But this is what the people say. So we have this here in 1 Samuel chapter 8. This is what it says. But here's what Josh says. When a king shall come upon you, he says, and when you be come into the land that Jehovah your Elohim giveth you, and you possess her and dwell in her, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are round about me. So Moshe was prophetic, right? Jah gave him this prophetic right on word. It might have taken from Deuteronomy here, chronology in the wilderness, the time of Samuel. It might have taken about 400 years, but it came to pass after the chronological events here of Moshe warning the new generation. Verse 15 says, thou shalt set in any wise, set him king over thee, whom Yahuwah thy Elohim shall choose. So you can have a king, but it must be a king that Jehovah your Elohim shall choose. Right? That, and it says right here, it says, one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king, Melech, Negus, over thee. Thou mayest not set a king, set a stranger over thee who is not thy brother. So we're not to set a stranger over thee. Now, this is one of the interesting words here when some of the Israelites say, well, Ethiopia's Cush. Not Israel, that's Cush. That's Ham, not Shem. Well, you know, the details, right? The details of the relationship. Let me just give one biblical verse. Yeah, I play that audible right there. Ye Ethiopians also shall be slain by my sword. But was Israel ever slain by Jah's sword? Let me ask you that question. Was Israel, Yasher Allah, did Jah ever use, Jehovah, Yahweh, ever use his sword? Mm-hmm. Didn't he put his sword in the hand of the Babylonians, right, and others to judge his people, Yisrael, his sword? And what is the sword of Yahweh according to the scriptures? Isn't it the word of God? So here's the word of Yahweh right here.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Right there, are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me? Right? Why does Josh say that? And it says, Ethiopia, this man was born there. Right? And it says, princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia stretched forth her hand to God. And then when Miriam and Aharon spoke against Moshe and Miriam spoke against Moses' Ethiopian wife, you know what happened after that? You know, they went bummy again. The Israelites went bummy again. And Jah wanted to destroy the whole people and make a great people out of Moshe. So that means this Ethiopian connection would have been there because the rest of them would have been destroyed and he would make a great nation out of Moshe. But Moshe's, his advocacy, right, his plea bargain for Yisrael was accepted, and instead Jah had them wander for 40 years in the wilderness, and then he said the new generation can go forward, and this is who Moshe is warning. He's saying right here, but he himself, concerning this king, shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, going to Egypt for horses. For as much as Yahweh has said to you, y'all shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Right? So he's not to have, like some kings would have, like tens of wives, hundreds of wives. Right? And it said that he should just have one wife, but it says he should not multiply. Right, just for multiplicity, you know, multiply, right? Neither shall he multiply wives himself that his heart should turn away. We get an example in Shlomo HaMelech, right, all those foreign women. Nothing is said against the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba. In fact, Rabbeinu Yeshua actually points out the queen of Sheba, that she's going to rise up with judgment against the ungodly, the ratchet generation of native Israelites. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Greatly multiply. So he's going to have silver and gold, but he's not to be about filthy lucre. Right, just materiality, right, to the extremeality. And it shall be when he sitteth. Now, here's a key verse. Deuteronomy 17:18. And it shall be Wahaya, and it shall higher, it shall be, shall come to pass when he sitteth up on the throne of his kingdom, of his government, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book. How many of the kings did this? Right? How many of the kings did this in ancient times? How many of the kings did this in modern times? Kings that claim some Israelite or lion of the tribe of Judah or Jacobite connection. That he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him. Now, we know the connection of the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, the Levites, the Ark of the Covenant. So therefore, an anointed king upon the throne of great King David in the tops of the mountain in Ethiopia can be able to do the same thing. Go to the priests, the Levites. After all, Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, the priests, the Levites, right? And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear, to reverence Yahuwah Elohayo. Elohayo, his Elohav, Elohav, modern Hebrew, Elohav, Elohayo, ancient pointing, his Elohim. To keep all the words, the Devarim, of this Torah, of this law, and these statutes, to do them, to guard them, to put them into effect, to guard them and put them into effect, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. Yes, he's king, but he should not be lifted up, bigged up in heart, above his brethren. And that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end, to the what? To the fulfillment, to the end, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, that he may prolong his days where? In his kingdom, in his government, he and his children in the midst of Yisrael. That's why this word in Amos chapter 9 verse 7.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord.
With Ethiopia, this man was born there, and that man born there, here's what he says concerning the Torah. Here's what he says concerning the commandments. That last part where it said that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment. Notice that that is in the singular, ha-mitzvah. Remember, the mitzvah is the 10 words. They call the 10 commandments, but actually it's 10 words. It's one commandment. This is why James, Jacob says if you break one, you break them all, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end, for the ultimate purpose, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Yisrael. Hear, hear, hear.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments and can elaborate on hand,
Hear this.
If the nation for which I am the emperor follows and accepts this,
The nation.
Since it's also what I accept and follow.
The king himself accepts and follows.
I would believe our country is not only historically Christian, but also actively Christian,
Not just historically. Once they were my papa, like the sons of Samuel could say, well, our father was righteous. But we know clearly that they were not righteous. They were not right. So here, Third Day Aliyah, short, little Batalua right here. Third Day Aliyah, here.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Here. For the Shalishi Aliyah, for the third reading, third up offering up here for this Shabbat, Shoftim, And hear, 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 Shema Yisrael. Hear, 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 get ear, 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 ear. Oh, Yisrael, Ethiopia, Yisrael. Hear, 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 hear. For the Shalishi Aliyah, for the third reading, the third up offering, offering up here for this Shabbat, Shoftim, 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 Shoftim. Send that to Farajot here, picking up the fifth book of Moses, Moshe, Hebrew book called Deuteronomy. He had Deuteronomy chapter 18. Chapter 18 for the Shalishi Aliyah, the tribe of Lewi, the tribe of Levi, of Lewi. Here, picking up for the Shalishi Aliyah, 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 for this Shabbat Shoftim. Lo Yihyeh La Kohanim Ha Lewin. Kola Sheveta Lewi Cheleka We Nachelaim Yisrael Ishei Yahuwah We Nachelato Yokelun. Hear, 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 for the Shalishi Aliyah, the tribe of Lewi, of Levi, the priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Lewi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. Lo yihyeh la kohanim halwim kol sheveta Lewi achelek. They shall eat the offerings of Yahweh, of Jehovah, made by fire, and his inheritance. We nachela ima Yisrael ishe Yahuwah. We nachela to yo kelun. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. Yahu Jehovah is their inheritance, as he hath said to them. Ha Kohen, the Kohen, the priest, do. Verse 3. The priests do. And this shall be Ha Kohanim, the Kohanim, the priests do from Ha'am, from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And they shall give to Ha Kohanim, the Kohanim, the priests, the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw, the first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. Ki Yahweh Eloheka, for Jehovah the I Elohim hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name, the Hashem of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, him and Benayo, his sons, forever, for
arise the law. Down to now, to now. Rastafari is the law. Thank you. Whatever you have done.
This discipleship radio broadcast has been made possible by donations from audience and listeners like you. Give thanks. Thank you very much, Miss Ghana.
Hear from the true church and the professing church right here. There's a prayer. The prayer of the oblation, the prayer of the donation, reminding to give. Here's a prayer from the true church and the professing church, the church of he who has the key of great King David. That six of the seven churches in Revelation, the church of Philadelphia, of brotherly love, the church of his majesty. Hear from the Tuahido church of the King of Kings.
The assistant priest shall say the prayer of oblation of the apostles. And again, let us beseech the Almighty Lord, the Father of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Jesus Christos, on behalf of those who bring an oblation within the one holy universal church, a sacrifice, first fruits, tithes, a thank offering, a memorial, whether much or little, secretly or openly, and of those who wish to give and have not wherewith to give, that he accept their ready mind, that he grant to them the heavenly kingdom, power over all works of blessing belongs to the Lord our God, belongs to Egziavihar Amlakachin, belongs to Yahwalheinu. The assistant priest, pray for them who bring an oblation. And the people shall say, accept the oblation of our brethren. Accept the oblation of our sisters. And ours also accept our oblation and our offering. The assistant priest shall say, Egziavihar Amlakachin Yahuwalheinu, the Lord our God who art almighty, we pray and beseech thee, I, for them that bring an oblation within the one holy universal church, a sacrifice, first fruits, tithes, a thank offering, a memorial, whether much or little, in secret or openly, and for those who wish to give and have not wherewith to give, thine acceptance of their ready mind, grant thou to everyone. Let the recompense of blessing be a portion to all of them through thine only begotten Son, through whom to thee I, with him and with the Holy Spirit, be glory and dominion both now and ever and to ages of ages. Amen.
Thank you. Whatever you have done. Thank you. Whatever you have done. Thank you. Whatever you have done. I need it.
This discipleship radio broadcast has been made possible by donations from audience and listeners like you. Give thanks. Thank you very much, Miss Ghana. Yes, yes, yes. So right here we got the 60th Psalm, today's daily psalm according to the royal order. After all of Melchizedek is Psalm 60. So let's get a first here, right, ear. Give ear and hear today's psalm daily 60. Psalm.
O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it's shaken. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our and 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 tread down our.
Hear the royal heart, the wise holding firm. Yes, I.
መዝሙር 59 በቅንፍ 60 ለመዘምራን አለቃ የሶርያን ሁለቱን ወንዞችና የሶርያን ሶባልን ባቃጠለ ጊዜ ኢዮአብም ተመልሶ ከኤዶማውያን ሰዎች በጨው ሸለቆ 12000 በገደለ ጊዜ ለትምህር የዳዊት ቅኔ አቤቱ ጣልህን አፈረስህንም ተቆጣህን ይቅርም አልህን ምድርን አናወጥካት አወካትም ተናውጣለችና ቁስሏን ፈውስ ለሕዝብ ጭንቅን አሳይሃቸው አስደንጋጩንም ወይን አጠጣህ ከቀስት ፊት ያመልጡ ዘንድ ለሚፈሩህ ምልክትን ሰጠሃቸው ወዳጆችህ እንዲድኑ በቀኝህ አድን አድምጠኝም እግዚአብሔር በቅድስናው ተናገረ ደስ ይለኛል ሴኬምንም እካፈላለሁ የሱኮትንም ሸለቆ ሰፍራለሁ ገለአድ የኔ ነው ምናሴም የኔ ነው ኤፍሬም የራሴ መጠጊያ ነው ይሁዳ ንጉሴ ነው ሞአብ መታጠቢያዬ ነው በኤዶምያስ ላይ ጫማዬን ዘረጋለሁ ፍልስጤም ይገዙልኛል ወደ ጽኑ ከተማ ማን ይወስደኛል ማንስ እስከ ኤዶምያስ ይመራኛል አቤቱ የጣልከን አንተ አይደለህምን አምላክ ሆይ ከሰራዊታችን ጋር አትወጣም በመከራችን ረድኤትን ስጠን የሰው ማዳን ከንቱ ነው በእግዚአብሔር ኃይልን እናደርጋለን እርሱ የሚያስጨንቁንን ያዋርዳቸዋልና
Psalm 60 O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it's shaken. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our army? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our end, 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 tread down our end.
Yes, yes, yes. So here we have today's Psalm, Psalm 60. Even that last part of Psalm 60, both in the Hebrew as well as in the Royal Amharic, he uses the word Hayil, Hayil. We have Hayil, like power, Hayil, Ha'el, right? Hayil, it has power in the Hebrew, as well as in the Royal Amharic. And it's interesting, you know, that it has power in the same places, using this Afro-Semitic, Afro-Asiatic, the Hayil, Hayil. And Hayil is related to El, like El as in Elohim. El comes from the archaic, the triconsonantal root, Ayelet, Ayelet. And Hayil comes from the triconsonantal root Hayelet, Hayelet. It's basically the same word except for the guttural, you know, that first letter, the Chet, Chet, Chet. Or in the G'ez, we call the letter Harm, Harm, the Harm, the Ch, Ch, Ch. So we have one, Hayil, right? Hayelet, to overpower, to prevail over. And in the secondary form that comes down to us even in the Hebrew with the Ayelet, Ayelet, contracted more, we have El. But here that verse that would be, what number would that be? Because here there's a numbering differences. The superscription is like the first two verses. So I think in the KJV Bible, there's a different numbering. So I think this would be like verse 12, the last verse in the KJV. Here I'm reading from the Hebrew here. It says, Belohim naaseh chayil. Belohim naaseh chayil. Belohim and Elohim in the power and the creator, right? The true good, the true God, the judge, judgment. Bring out the sense of judgment, since the Elohim name title refers to Yahweh, Jehovah, in his aspects of creator, the power of powers, and in his aspect of being the supreme judge. Belohim and Elohim, naaseh, 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 to do, we will do, naaseh, chayil, naaseh, chayil, we will do, chayil, we will do. The translator used valiantly. Valiantly, right? Not violently, but interesting about the word Hayil. In some sense, it can be like a powerful, a destructive storm, like Hailenya, Hailenya Nafas, a powerful wind, a wind that can tear down. But in the sense of what we will do power. Also in the Hebrew, the term Hayil refers to the army. And we use this word Hayil, right? The Hayil, like Ben Hayil, can be saying a son of the power, a son of a powerful man, or like a son of the army, right? An army man, a warrior, so to speak. The difference between a warrior and a soldier is that even as warriors, we become soldiers, and we become soldiers in the sense that we obey the Shema and the commands, right? A warrior may just want to fight because he's a man. He can fight, you know? But we will fight according to direction. Belohim naaseh chayil. Through Elohim or in Elohim, we will do chayil, we will do power. Wehu yabus sarenu. For he, wehu, vehu, and he himself, yabus, yabus. He will trod, he will trample down, yabus, yabus, to trod, to trample, right? To trample, trod down, Tsareinu, Tsareinu, Ainai Satans, Ainai adversaries, Ainai adversity. So here, looking at the podcast right here as we're coming into the 15 minutes of the grace period. And also the heads up. Hopefully we can go through the fuller four. But we're going to go through the Hebrew right here, though we share the Amharic, because both audibles is almost like 40-something, you know, 40-something minutes. We go through a fuller four. But we're choosing to go through the Hebrew right here in the Midrash, because putting it in the Hebrew context, even with this Torah reading and feeding, and with the foundational language as Kedemawi Halasalasi refers to the Hebrew, Nesaratawi Kwankwa, the Ibrayist, in the Ivrit, in the Hebrew here. So here, today's psalm is themed in the shadow of defeat, right? In the shadow of defeat. It's a time in Iowa of national humiliation that is mirrored here in this composition in Mizmor Samek. Samek, alphanumerically, the letter Samek has a numerical value of 60. So we say Mizmor Psalm, alpha numerically, the letter Samek, Mizmor Samek, Psalm LX, Psalm 60. In the midst of a campaign, the army has suffered a loss, right? The army has suffered a loss or a reverse. The psalm here, Mizmor Samek, Psalm 60, it reveals the humbled mood of Ha'am, of the people, Jah people, hoping that Ha'ilahim, that Elohim would retrieve their fortunes, the fate, and turn defeat into victory. The title here, in the title is the first two verses, right? The first two verses, let's just bring up here the KJV so we can, you know, speak accurately. We have the Hebrew in front of us, and you know, rising up in the Hebrew, you know, helps us to kind of avoid a lot of the confusions that could be imagined from a English-only perspective, right? So here it has this, a superscription, as you can see here, for Psalm 6 in the King James Version of the Bible says, to the chief musician upon Shushan Adut, Miktam of David, to teach, when he strove with Aram Naharaim and with Aram Zobah, when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the valley of Salt 12,000. Now, those verses right there, even in the KJV, Hebraically are verses 1 and 2, right, are the first two verses that reads here, Mizmor Samek, Lamanatayach al Shushan Edut, Miktam Ledawit, Le Lamed, Le Lamed, to teach, Lamed, Le Lamed, Behatzoto eta Aram Naharaim ve eta Aram Sora Wayashav Yoab Wayak eta Edom be ge Melach Shenaim Asar Aleph. Just going through it right there. So we have here for the leader, the chief musician, Lamanatayach, all here, all is on or upon all Shushan Edut. Shushan Edut. What does Shushan Edut mean? Simply, basic Hebrew, it means the lily, Shushan Edut, the lily of witness, the lily of testimony. In the secondary sense of the two truths, Shushan, as Shoshanim, is lilies, also refers symbolically, right, in the Hebraic metaphor to trumpet, right? So on the lily of witness, on the trumpet, on a trumpet of witness, Shushan literally is a lily, but the lily is likened to a trumpet, right? Al Shushan Edut, on the lily of testimony. Now we have this as well as Psalm XLV. We have Psalm 45 that has the Shushan Shoshanim. We have Psalm LXIX, Psalm 69, and we have Psalm LXXX, the 80th Psalm. These are to be compared in the title Shushan Edut, Shoshanim, right? It is doubtless, many say, that to indicate the name of a melody. But here in the superscription, what is key right? After we get through the basics for the leader, the chief musician, the overcomer, upon the trumpet of witness, the lily of testimony, miktam, golden composition, miktam of David, Lidawid, Lamed. Now, the Hebrew letter, the L, right, letter in the Hebrew is known as Lamed. But then Lamed in the Hebrew means to teach. From that, we get Talmud, Talamed, right? We also get a disciple, Talmid, right? Lamed, to study, to learn. But here, the context is to teach. Now, we have 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18. There's a reference here to 2 Samuel, right? I don't know if we went there before, but let's just go here together, right? 2 Samuel, right? Chapter 1, verse 18. The 1, verse 18, what does it read? Here it says, also he bade them to teach. Also he bade them, like begged them, beseech them, implored them to teach. To teach, bade them teach the children of Judah, the B'nai Yehuda, the sons of Yehuda, the sons of Judah, the use of the bow, the keshet, the use of the bow, right? And the bow in the ancient times was like the sniper weapon, you know, like the sniper rifle, the long gun. That's what the bow was, because you can hit the enemy, you know, with accuracy from a distance. And they were a vital support to the infantry, to the fighting man, properly positioned. So what Dawid here is doing, right, here in the song where David, he mourns the death of Saul and Jonathan. After David, Dawid hears of Shaul's death, right? He rises up a chant right here. Verse 17, Second Samuel, verse 17, chapter 1, verse 17. And Dawid lamented. He lamented with this lamentation over Shaul and over Yonatan, Beno, over Jonathan, his son. Verse 18. Also, here it says, also, this is put in a parenthetical right here, but in the Hebrew, we have these verses in the Royal Amharic. We looked at in the Guz. They're not in parentheses. There's no parenthetical. Sometimes they put these parentheses in there, and nobody really has explained that accurately, because in the original, right, the more archaic, before the translation, there wasn't these parentheses. So you see these parentheses. The words that are not there are the words in italics. So when you see most of the words in the English that you see in the KJV Bible that are italicized are not there in the Hebrew, in the majority, 9 out of 10, sometimes 10 out of 10 cases. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the bow. The words in the italics is the use of. So in the Hebrew, it has the force of, and he bade them teach the B'nai Yehuda the bow, the keshet, right? Behold, it says it is, but in the Hebrew, behold, written. Look, it's written in the book of Yasha. And Yasha in the Hebrew means upright, right? So it's like upright Yasha, right? Jasha. Something is the name of a person. Right, Hebraically is the title, it's the context of uprightness and the upright. Those who do what Jah says is right are upright. But anyway, the book of Jasher. Right? Now, I know there's a book of Jasher out there, but that was a later writing. It's not really, it was a rabbinical writing. In fact, it was a writing that many of the scholars of Torah, right, had put together from their Torah studies, scriptural studies, other things that were passed down. You know, something's accurate, something's not quite. A better reference or document would actually be the Book of Jubilees. But there are some things in the Book of Jasher, right, that does reflect certain ancient. It's a mixed bag. But there are some fake books of Jasher out there as well. I put that out there because I know many ones will speak about the book of Jasher, but it is a good reference. Let's study the book of Jasher. But here it says that David, right, after what had happened to Saul and to Jonathan and the other Israelites, you know, after they had gotten defeated, right, and got slaughtered, David, a military man himself, you know, and peeping what was advantageous militarily as Kedemawi Haile Selassie built up Ethiopia's the Holy Army at that time, is similar-wise here. He recognized that these modern armies are using iron weapons, It's no longer the brass age is a thing of the past. Iron weapons are replacing the brass. And also, many of the armies are using bowmen. It's like the lesson that the Hyksos had taught the Egyptian, the Mitzrayimites, the Kemetics. They don't like to admit this, but it's true, right? They taught them the use of the chariot, right? They introduced the chariot, the bow, you know, other types of special weapons that the Shemites, that the Semitics use, right? And they were more effective with that. But being Egyptianized, the Hyksos, the Hyksos, and other Afro-Semitics, you know, had brought in certain things, and they learned from it. It's like saying right now that black people were brought to America over here under this white civilization they set up in the latter days, and we did not contribute nothing here. Notice everything that we do, they like to claim it as their own music, and we were suffering and being beat and lynched, and we're singing a song to our God, and they say, oh, that song moves so much. That's great American music. No. It was Beta Israel's music. But the same thing they did with our brothers, Esau and the other Hyksos, and also with our story as the B'nai Yisrael in Egypt. And it's not against Egyptians or the whole culture. It's just saying that big nations, ruling empire-type nations, do this sort of shite. But what David recognized, he recognized that the army of Israel needs to be upgraded. We're going into a new age. No more, like we say, no more are we dealing with a horse and buggy. It's like the technology. No longer are we dealing with just analog technology. We're using digital technology. Yeah, it's a new thing. Yeah, some of the evil doers are using it for evil reasons and evil designs. But because they use it for evil, as His Majesty also taught I and I, we can use it for good. Good over evil. In other words, learn about these things and take what is good. This is what Dawid, right, the namesake, this is what he shows in his example here. So this is the significance of this verse here in 1 Samuel. Now, how is this verse here in 1 Samuel? Here we have 1 Samuel chapter, sleek, I keep saying 1 Samuel, is 2 Samuel chapter 1, pardon, right? 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18. It's connected with what is said in the superscription here in today's psalm, to teach, right? To teach what? Right, to teach who? Well, to teach, right, the children of Judah. Notice he didn't say the children of Israel. He said the children of Judah, right? He said the children of Yehuda, right? Because Saul was the first king of Israel. He is the first king that is referred to as Moshiach, as Christ, or as anointed. David also was Christ and anointed. Right? And it's very interesting how David relates to that. Many times David could have killed Saul, who was spreading bad rumor and sending a bunch of rogue dogs, thugs, Israelite Hebrew killers and hitters after him. And he was avoiding all that. But when Saul fell into his hand, he even prevented his own men then, you know, from like Abishai. Abishai wanted to fall on him. He said, I could hit him one time. And David had to tell Abishai, one of his runners, one of his own loyal men, if you hit him, I will have to hit you, because that's the Lord's anointed. Even though Shaul was acting like a uck boy many times, David, he regarded the fact that he was anointed. I think it's an interesting point that often does not get, you know, looked at. So in a sense, what we have in the New Testament sense is Saul becoming the Antichrist. He's a Christian too, but he's the Antichrist. And David demonstrating the true Christ or the true Messiah value. But what David is telling them right here, you know, is that we have to upgrade our military. 90 seconds, y'all. David understood, no doubt, one of the reasons why Saul and the Israelite army probably fell in that battle. One is because many of them were still using brass. That was the Bronze Age was ending. It was brass weapons, right? Iron weapons had come in. Better techniques of smelting had come in. And I have to say this here, though Egypt has a lot of anciency and relevancy, though Kemet has a lot of relevancy to humanity, these new inventions were not invented, right, in the Nile Valley. They were brought to the Nile Valley. People don't even know that Menes, and the one who say the first united king, he came from the east. He came from Sumer, right? And one of the reasons he was able to unite those in the valley is because his men were using metal. They was using iron. You know, they was using the higher technology that it took those in the West, speaking about Kemet and the continent of Africa, to catch up on, right? And the conduit of this became the Hebrews. And here's a very good example when David, you know, when David says in one of the Psalms that because of Jehovah, he can bend like a brass bow. Because to bend these bows, because they were made of harder metal, it was harder to bend. You know, one had to train, you know, to bend a bow, hold it steady, you know, while you're bending a metal bow, right? And hold that steady and release it, holding everything steady, the pressure that it takes. But what David is saying here is to teach the children of Judah. So we see this as being connected here for superscription for the leader, the chief musician, upon Shushan Edut, a miktam, a monumental composition, a golden composition. When you see the word miktam in some of the areas of Psalms, because of the inner meaning of the word miktam, it's like what if we Hebrews were like the Egyptians and others and we did monuments and we would write something on a monument, on a stela? This is like the content that we would write on a stela. So the miktam is like a golden composition. It's precious verse. You know, it's monumental verse. Right, there is the overt translation, and then there is the Hebrew intelligence covert translation. Like what we're going through here is some of the covert translation as a Hebrew or Israelite will look at it, being thoroughly informed with the Torah and the foundation. So to teach. Now notice it says to teach, but to teach what? It doesn't say what to teach, but we know that Psalm 60 is regarding a military battle, a military campaign. We have a military battle. We have a military campaign. It says, when he strove, right? When he strove. All right, let's go over here, yeah, to the King James Version. It says, when he strove with Aram, Naharaim, and with Aram, Zobah. Here in the Hebrew, once again, Laminatia ala Shushan Eduta Miktam Lidawit Le Lamei Be Hatzoto. When he strove. Now, the word in the Midrash we like to share, when we go to the Hebrew, it can be also when he set on fire, right? When he set on fire, you know, like not only he strove, but he set on fire. There's layers. Be'er hatzoto et aram. When he strove with et aram, with aram, naharaim. Aram means aram, like we say the Aramaic, right? You know, Aram of the two rivers, Aram of the two rivers. That's what they would call today Mesopotamia, and Aram Zobah or Ve'et Aram Zobah, Aram Zobah, Aram Zobah, and Aram Zobah. And Joab returned. Now Joab, David's, I think they were cousins, they were related, right? He is the captain of a portion of the army. He returned. And it says, and he smote of Edom in the valley of Salt 12,000, right? 12,000. But now today's psalm, it points to the Edomite war. Now, if you know where Aram Naharaim, the Aram of the two rivers, Mesopotamia and Aram of Sobat, and then you see the approximate location they say that Israel was at, you can see that this was a battle over in other lands, in other countries. Right. And Joab spun around, he returned, and because of the direction that David had given him and the men, he was able to smite Edom, the Edomites, in the Valley of Salt, in the Salt Valley, that where it says right here, it says, and he returned, it says, Wayashav Yoav. Wayashav Yoav. Vayashab, shab, shub, to turn, like teshuvah, to repent, to turn around. Vayashab, and he turned around, right? Now, what's interesting is that we see these things and we think it's just words, but one thing that some of our fellow Hebrews and, or rather, Jews and Israelis have done is in studying this more diligently, they really break down how these were military instructions. There's a whole book that we got, what's this called, Battles of the Bible, where a lot of things that ones would read and think is just, you know, just a historical narrative where some of the Israelis and some of the Hebrews and others of us read it and we break down military strategies. Military strategies that once they are learned again are actually taught in all the highest military schools that actually come from these areas of scripture that people think, oh, that never happened. They're just making that up. But military people, you know what I mean? You know, and the militaries of the world, the professional militaries of the modern world, understood this was true like the professional militaries of the ancient world. I pointed out because when it says, and he returned, it's like saying, and he turned. But if you understand military language, at a certain point, you might send your soldiers, you'll go over there. But at a certain point, turn this way. We're going to bring the other soldiers over there, and we're going to turn that way. So when you see the signal over there, you make that move over here. So this is what is being said in the superscription here. This psalm is called In the Shadow of Defeat. Up until the points given right here in today's psalm, the memorial in today's psalm, the Israelites were losing a battle. They were losing a battle. And it said that these were the words that they cried out to John with, and how John had instructed David and his men in how to go about to gain a victory. So to teach here, and in 2 Samuel 1 and 18 is connected, because when David comes into the kingship, he made sure that he firstly had the sons of Judah knowing how to use the bow and every other modern warfare that was more current in other lands. Remember, Israel was like country compared to some of these other nations, right? But David upgraded the technology, and Solomon was able to seal it up, and that's why we had that golden age, as it were. But here to teach. So the direction means that the poem was to be taught to the army recruits, to the recruits in the Hayav, the power, the army, because of its connection with war. So Psalm 60, though it's seen in the shadow of defeat, don't get it twisted. It's in the shadow of defeat, but the direction instruction is what helped us get the victory. That's why the last verse says what it says. Be'elohim na'aseh hayel. In Elohim, we would do hayel. We would do powerfully. V'hu yavusa areinu. For it is he who, and none other. It is he who be who he be. V'hu yavus. It is he who's going to trample them. We're going to bash them. We say yabasha, right? Yabas, yabus. We're going to trample them. Sareinu, our satans, our enemies. Aram Naharaim is Syria of the two rivers. Another way of translating it later on is Syria of the two rivers. The Syria of the two rivers. The land between the Euphrates and the Chaboris. The Euphrates and the Chaboris. It's in one of the ancient Nile Valley civilizations, right, that rightfully can compete to be the midday of civilization. People will call it, you hear people say, Sumer is the cradle of civilization. No, actually it wasn't the cradle or the dawning of civilization. No, it was the midday of civilization. It was the midday of civilization, right? Aram Zobah. What is Aram Zobah? It's a country to the northeast of Damascus between the Orontes and the Euphrates. So we have the Euphrates River and the Chaboris. And then we have, on another side, we have the Euphrates, right, and the Orontos. These are mentioned together in 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 6. So let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 6. 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 6, right? We have to do due diligence, because while a lot of people have these kooky, crazy, cock-eyed misinterpretations, it's because they're reading a verse and imagining, you know, what the verse means in a translation while not having any other substantial context, right? Any context to it. That's why they would be amazed if they understand the military moves that are in the Bible. You know, the various different interesting military moves that are found in the scriptures. That is actually there in the text that you think, and he went this way and he went that way, and there's a name here you don't understand, and such and such. But for ones who can read it, or rather ones who can decode it. But remember, it's a Hebrew scripture for the Israelites, so why should other people be able to decode it anyway? Even some New Testament so-called Christians. Why should they? But ironically speaking, the Christian leaders have been able to decode it. That's why the Jews were able to beat the Arabs in the Six-Day War. It was asked to Golda Meir by one of the Arab leaders. He said, why are you always like, we had the upper hand in everything in the Six-Day War. How is it that you still won? And what Golda Meir said, right, she said, the one in that picture that bowed to his majesty, yes, she says, She says, well, you see, the thing about you Arabs and some of y'all who are like Muslim and very extreme and you hate the Jews and you hate everything in the Bible and all this because you say this and that. But we read everything. We read everything. We study everything. So we knew what kind of moves you'll be coming with because we study, you know, the Hadith of Muhammad. We studied this. We studied all these things. But you'll refuse, right? Because in your religion, you'll say the Bible is misinterpreted, other things, but you don't read it. If you had read the Torah, you would have known exactly the pincer moves that we did to you. Yeah, the pincer move, a modern military move, is laid out in some areas of the scriptures, the Ketubim. And it's so beautiful because if you read it one way, you think that it's just a little military narrative. And you say, oh, this probably never even happened. But other people who read it and with the right decoding say, chan, both it tells a plain narrative for the idiodotes, the ones who want to look at it their own way, and those who look at it the right way can see what it was really meant to convey, right? So here we have First Chronicles chapter 19, right, verse 6, and here's what it says. It says, and when the children of Ammon saw that they had made themselves odious to David, odious, they made themselves stink, they made themselves stank to David, right? Hanun and the children of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire them chariots. So people understood how important it's like today they have these like little military jeeps and military vehicles, and you can see around the world how everybody's trying to do like the great powers of America, of England, even the Israelis. They're trying to do like these ones and update their technology because it's the cutting edge of technology. So there was cutting edge technology in the past. Right. This is why you find David, he had brought into Israel a lot of carpenters and a lot of metalsmiths. He brought them in because he recognized that among Israel, we didn't have these trades. He upgraded technology just like Haile Selassie, his Majesty, did. That's why Ethiopia had the largest standing army outside of the Dutch South African. And that's saying a whole lot right there. So here it says that these ones sought to hire themselves, right, to hire them chariots and horsemen out of Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia is the Aram Naharaim, is the Aram between the two rivers called Mesopotamia, and out of Syria Maaka, and out of Zobah. So they hired 30,000 and 2,000 chariots. They basically hired, like today they call it today, what they call it today, mercenaries. They hired mercs. Ain't nothing new under the sun. They hired 30,000 and 2,000 chariots, and the king of Maaka and his people. They hired that king and his people to fight for them, who came and pitched before Medeba. And the children of Ammon gathered themselves together from their cities and came to battle. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of Savah, right, of the mighty man, the Anshei Chayil, right, the men of Chayil, the men of power, the men of war, the Anshei Chayil. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array before the gate of the city. And the kings that were come were by themselves in the field, like kings would be, a little bit off watching the battle, right, surrounded by their, you know, guards. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him before and behind, so they basically had him trapped, Joab, right, front and behind. What happened? He chose out of the choice of Yisrael. So he knew those men who had special talents and abilities. He chose out of all the choice of Israel and put them in array against the Assyrians. He sent them out, the chop, the choppers and the slaughterers of Israel. He sent them forward. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother. That's the same one that told David, listen, David, Saul is sleeping right there. He's talking all this stuff. He's sending these men to kill you, and we're running through the mountain and hiding in caves. I can fall on him one time, and David says, Al-Tashchet to who? Do not destroy him. That's why that is in the other psalm, Tashchet, right? That's why it's there, do not destroy. What David said to Abishai was, Al-Tashchet who? Don't destroy who? Don't destroy him. And if you do, I will have to destroy you because you are setting your hand against the Lord's anointed. Who can set his hand against the Lord's anointed? So even David had a regard, not for Saul's uggery, but for the fact that even though he was still anointed to the hand of Abishai, his brother, and they set themselves in array against the children of Ammon. They spread out in a way to let them know, you want to do this? And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. If the Arameans be too strong for me, but if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will help thee. So they, even there, if you study it in the context of the language and put it into context, you will see how they reposition themselves. So it's almost like where you see military men and paramilitary, when they go in a place, sometimes they go in back to back and they circle around each other. So each one got each one's back. If one shoots from over here, I got him. If one shoots from behind me, you got him. Where do you think they learned these things from? You still think the Torah, the scripture, is a pacifist book, just a religious book, right? Verse 13, he says, be of good courage. Watchword, watchword. Be of good courage and make I and I behave ourselves valiantly. In the Hebrew, that's the hail with power. Right, with power, overpowering, vigorous, coming on like a mighty storm for our people and for the cities of Eloheinu and for the cities of our Elohim. And let Yahweh do that which is good in his sight. In other words, give us a victory and help us to slaughter them. So Joab and his people that were with him, they drew nigh, near before the Syrians to the battle, and they fled before him. So when they drew nigh, when the Syrians started to see this reconfiguration of the battlefield, right, and how the Israelite army under Dawit was tight and right. Remember, when David first comes to the kingship, the first thing he says when he laments for Saul and Jonathan is like, we need to teach the sons of Judah the use of the bow. Saul and the Israelites, they lost because the Philistines had the bow. They had the chariot. They had weapons of iron, while many of our people still had brass weapons. Can you imagine? You have a brass shield. You have a brass sword. I come at you with a iron shield, an iron sword, and I have the support of the bowmen. I got the support of charioteers. Your shield is going to crack, your sword is going to crack, and then if I lick you side the head or any other part, that's cracked like that. So this is what happened. So David was also not just, we just look at this as religious, he was on his knees praying to God. No, his God is in him. Our God is in us, right? And you can see how they upgraded. Now in this battle here, right, they put them to flight. Last part right here, and when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, because the Syrians were backing up the Ammonites, when they saw that they partnered, you know, like you bring your friend, you know, you bring your brother and your brother's off running. What you going to do, right? They likewise fled before Abishai, his brother, and entered into the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were put to the worse before Yisrael, Yasharala, what did they do? They sent messengers and drew forth the Syrians that were beyond the river. That's why they, remember it says Aram Naharaim, the Aram of the two rivers. That means now they're calling for reinforcements from way over there in Mesopotamia. That means that when we get our act together, we're going to have to go, right? Go to your reinforcements, deal with your reinforcements so you won't be able to call nobody, right? And they drew forth the Syrians that were beyond the river and Shophach, the captain of the host of Hadar Reza, went before them. Last part here, the second campaign under David in person. Now, David hearing all this, he's like, Chan, Joab, you're doing well, but, you know, I learned some things on my run, that time on the run behind enemy line. Remember, David was behind enemy line, Achish. Different. So when he was behind the enemy line, even fleeing from Saul, he was taking note of their weaponry, of their armor, right? Him and his men and his mighty men. And they're saying, all right, even though we're hiding right now and the king Jah has given us favor among these enemies, otherwise, take note of what their equipment is. We got to get this, right? We got to up this. And when David came into his kingship, he upped that. Now here, after this part of the battle, David has to step to them in person. He has to go out on the battlefield like ancient kings, like used to do. The last king that ever did that we know of is Ketamawi Haile Selassie, going out on the battle with your troops, like great King David. And it was told David, and he gathered, called Yisrael, all of Israel, and passed over Yarden and came up on them and set the battle in array against them. So when David had put the battle in array against the Syrians, the Arameans, they fought with him, but the Syrians fled before Yasharallah, Yisrael, and David slew of the Syrians 7,000 men, which fought in chariots. They already developed a way to get around the advances of the chariot. But the chariots, you just avoid this, avoid that, but here's the weak spots of the chariot. And you can tell that this was successful because they had got the worst, right? What it says right here, it says, but the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew of the Syrians 7,000 men who fought in chariots, 7,000 chariots, right, and 40,000 footmen. And he killed Shophach, right, the captain of the host. And when the servants of Hadarezer saw that they were put to the worst before Yasharallah, Yisrael, they made peace. Now we got shalom. Right? That's why Rabbeinu Yeshua said, don't think we come to bring peace like the world bring peace, but a sword. Right? So after this, right, the servants of Hadarezer, he saw that they were put to the worst before Yisrael. They made shalom. That means they became tributaries. They paid the tax, right, and became his servants. Neither would the Syrians help the children of Ammon anymore. So after that, they said, nah, we almost lost everything by trying to help y'all out. Right there. Here, brothers and sisters, just the last part of this, just putting this into a context here. There's what is mentioned as the Valley of Salt. Now, the situation here is the region of the Dead Sea. This is said to be the region of the Dead Sea. In 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 13, it is recorded that, and David got him a name. David got himself a Shem. Right, a name, renown, a name, when he returned from the smiting of the Arameans in the Valley of Salt, even 18,000 men. Now, if this is the episode referred to, right, there's, some say, a twofold discrepancy which appears. Some say there's a discrepancy that says twofold. Let's go through this quickly here. Is a discrepancy? Right, maybe to you if you're looking at it from the outside, but for us, we see how it's not. But here, in the heading of the psalm, the success is ascribed to Joab. In the heading of Psalm 60, the success is given to Joab. And there is a difference in number. If harmony is to be established between the psalm, what's written in the psalm, and the history in Samuel and the Chronicles, we must suppose that while David was engaged in conquering the Syrians, the Edomites took the opportunity of raiding the south and gained a substantial victory, which for a time had caused panic, but that David, like an able general, was not taken off his guard. He stood his square, 10 toes down, and he got him a name, a rep, for the masterly way in which he defeated both enemies, vanquishing Aram himself, and he dispatched Joab at the critical moment, at that right moment, to overthrow Edom. The disagreement in the number, some say, may be due to the difference in two versions of the narrative, right? And both versions of the narrative, both witnesses, we find this a lot in the Hebrew scriptures, are put there. Why is it put there? Because both of those are witness. When people witness, you record the witness, right? Later on, we can think what we think about each witness. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, this is said to have been said before the battle, the title pointing to the Edomite war in which David was engaged, and a particular incident that is singled out in the psalm. However, it tells of success rather than failure. It is said that today's psalm, Psalm 60, was composed likely immediately before this exploit that turned the scales. It's like what we read in the history when it says, and David himself joined the soldiers, brought his boys, his warriors, and came out there himself. So this is where some say it's two versions, but you had this multiple battles going on. In fact, what we suspect is that many of these nations had conspired, right, to jump Israel, right, to hit them at different times. And after we hit them over there, then you'll come up from the south, the Edomites being a part of that Uckmouth group and everything. You know, so at that time, it was David and the Holy Spirit and David that helped direct, you know, his other armies, you know, like Joab, that got the victory. And one particular incident is pointed to and zoomed in right here, here, here. Here, 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 brothers and sisters, let's go to this. Get an ear in the Hebrew. Holding firm.
מזמור סמך למנצח על שושן עדות מכתם לדוד ללמד בהצותו את ארם נהריים ואת ארם צובה ויישוב יואב ויח את אדום בגי מלח שנם עשר א' אלוהים זנחתנו פרצתנו ענפת תשובב לנו הרעשת ארץ בצמת רפא שבריה חימת הראית עמך קשה השקיטנו יין תרעלה נתת לרעך נס להתנוסס מפני קושת סלע למען יחלצון ידידיך הושיע ימינך וענני אלוהים דיבר בקודשו אעלוזה אחלקה שכם ועמק סוכות המדד לי גלעד ולי מנשה ואפרים מעוז ראשי יהודה מחוקקי מואב סיר רחתי על אדום אשליך מעלי עליי בלשת התרועי מי יובילני עיר מצור מי נחני עד אדום הלא אתה אלוהים זנחתנו, ולא תצא אלוהים בצבאותינו. אהבה לנו עזרת מצר, ושב תשועת אדם. באלוהים נעשה חיל, והוא יבוס צרינו.
Psalm 60. O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it's shaken. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our end, tread down our end, tread down our end, tread down.
So here, the Midrash, Shasai, the study, today's daily song.
Description, first Hebrew proper verse, La Menatzeach, Al Shushan, Edut, Miktam, Lidawit, Lilamed, De Hatzoto, Eta Eram, Naharaim, We Eta Eram, Sova, Wayashava, Yoav, Wayak, Eta Edom,
So here for a Midrash on Mizmor Samek, Psalm 60, Psalm LX.
Superscription, first Hebrew proper verse, La Menatzeach, Al Shushan, Ebit, Miktam, Lidawit, Lilamed, De Hatzoto, Eta Eram, Naharaim, We eta eram Torah. Vayashava Yoav, Vayak, Etta Edom, Bitgeya Melach, Shinaim Asad Ale. For the leader, for the chief musician, La Minat Eyach. For the overcomer, La Minat Eyach, Al Shushan Edu. Upon Shushan Edu, upon Lily of Testimony, Al Shushan Edu. Miktam Le David, a miktam of David. Le Lamed, to teach. Bihatsoto, when he strove at Aram Naharayim, with Aram Naharayim, with Eta Aram Sova, and with Aram, 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 Aram. Hear, hear, hear today's daily psalm according to the royal order of Ethiopian Hebrews and after the order of Malachi, Tzedek, Melchizedek, Melchizedek, Melchizedek. Hear, hear, hear today's daily psalm according to the royal order of Ethiopian Hebrews and after the order of Malachi, Tzedek, Melchizedek. Today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samek, Mizmor Samek. Psalm 60, Psalm LX, Mizmor Samek. La menatzeach, al shushan edut miktam, le David, le lamed. For the leader, for the chief musician, la menatzeach, for the leader, for the menatzeach, chief musician, overcomer, up on, upon, al shushan edut, al shushan edut. A miktam, 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 a miktam, le David, of David, le lamed, le lamed, le lamed, to teach, to teach, to teach. Now here, here, here in the Midrash notes here, for today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samek, Psalm 60, miktam, in the title, the superscription, miktam, may mean stela, a stella, a monument, a stela, a stella. That meaning there of miktam, it fits neatly into the development of the argument, the reasonment that here, 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 Shema Yisrael. The argument, the reasoning that here follows. La menatzeach al shushan edut miktam le David le lamed. For the leader upon shushan edut. Shushan edut, 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 edut. Miktam of David to teach. The phrase, Shushan, Edut. Lily, Shushan, of testimony, Edut, Edut. Shushan, Edut, Lily of testimony, is to be read in the light of the verse from Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Isaiah, Isaiah 50 and 8, that reads, He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? He is near that justifieth I. Who will contend with I? Karov matzadiki miyariv iti. He is near that justifieth I. Karov matzadiki. Who? Me. Who? Me. Who will contend? Miyariv. Miyarib. Miyariv iti. Who will contend iti, 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 with me, with I? Karov, matzadiki, mi yariv iti, To what time, to what I would do the words, he is near that justifieth me, that justifieth I. Karov, matzadiki, he is near that justifieth me, refer. To what time? To the time, to the Iowa, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, gave HaTorah, gave the Torah to the B'nai Yisrael, to the sons, the children of Israel. HaTorah, the Torah, where from they could draw testimony, edut, against all the nations. The Torah, HaTorah, Jah's direction, instructions, the teaching of His Majesty, HaTorah, wherefrom they could draw testimony against all the nations, the Gentiles, all the Goyi. Hear, 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 today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samek, Hebraically, the second verse that reads, When he strove with Aram Naharaim and with Aram Zobah. Behatzoto et Aram Naharaim with et Aram Zobah. When he strove with Aram Naharaim and with Aram Zobah. Behatzoto et Aram Naharaim ve et Aram Zobah. That is, when Joab went to make war with Aram, the Arameans said to him, "Art thou not Jacob's descendant? Art thou? Isn't thou Jacob's descendant? And therefore, does not a covenant exist between us, between I and I? For Laban, our forefather said, according to the words of Bereshit, Genesis chapter 31, verses 44, 45, and 48, now come, let us make a covenant, I and thou, I and the I." And Yaakov took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Laban said, "This heap is witness between me and thee, between I and the I, this guy, this guy, this guy." Ve'ata lecha nikareta vrita ni va'ata. And now, come, lecha, make a covenant, cut a covenant, ve'ata lecha nikarita brit, I and thou, ani wa'ata, and make it be ve'haya for a witness, le'aid, between me and thee, baini u baineka, and Jacob and Yaakov, and Jacob took up a stone, vayikach Yaakov aven, vayariyameha matzeba, and Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. Vayikach Yaakov aben vayarimeha matzeba. And Laban said, Vayomer Laban. And Laban said, "This heap is witness between me and thee, between me and the eye, this day. Hagal hazeh aid beini u'aveinecha hayom. This heap is witness between me and thee, between I and the I, this day. Hagal hazeh aid beini u'aveinecha hayom." When Joab heard this, he knew not how to contend with it. And he came to David and said, Aram spoke thus and thus, like this and like this to me, to I. At once, David assembled the Sanhedrin, to whom Solomon alluded in the verse from Song of Songs. "Thy belly is like a heap of wheat, set about with lilies." Hear from Shir HaSharim. Ha mazega bitnech. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Ha mazega bitnek remata chitim suga ba shoshanim. Wheat symbolizes Torah. Wheat symbolizes Torah. And lilies symbolize sages. Thus the phrase Shushan Edut, the lily of testimony, is taken to refer to the sages of the Sanhedrin, who teach out of their da'at, out of their knowledge, their gnosis of testimony, or out of their knowledge of Torah, out of their knowledge of testimony or Torah. The assembly, the Sanhedrin declared, "Our fathers made two covenants. Abraham made one of the two, as it is said,
even in Bereshit in Genesis chapter 21, verses 22, 23, and 32, where it reads, "And it came to pass at that time, at that hour, that Abimelech spoke to Abraham, 'Now therefore swear to me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me.' So they made a covenant. Vayehia ba'eta ha'hiya vayomera Abimelech il Avraham lemor ve'ata hishava'a li ve'ata hishava'a li ve'lohima he'na im tia shikor li vayikrito verit vayikrito berit." So they made a covenant. Now when the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Israel, were about to enter the land of the Philistines, it was said to them, "Are you not sons of Abraham? And will you not keep the obligations of the covenant that Abraham made with Abimelech?" The Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Israel, the Israelites replied, "Indeed, we would keep the covenant. But you are not the Philistines. For the Philistines, the Philistines, have long since departed." The testimony of Scripture in the verse, even the verse from Devarim, from Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 23. "The Avim dwelt in villages as far as Gaza, but the Kaphtorim that came forth out of Kaphtor destroyed them."
Destroyed them.
Destroyed them.
Destroyed them.
Destroyed them. Avim haya shavim ba chotzerim ad alva kafatorim hayotzaim miya kafatora hisha midu
hisha midu
hisha midu
hisha midu
vaya yeshu
vaya yeshu
the avim, the avim ha avim ha awim the awim the awim the Avim, Ha-Avim, the Avim were thus the aboriginal Philistines, the original Philistines, with whom the covenant Ha-Brit had been made, whereas the Kaphtorim were interlopers. Into their name, Kaphtor, Kaph-Fe-Tau-Re, into their name, Kaphtor, is also read from the Kaph-Fe, the Rei, Reish, violate or break. Hence, within this Hebraically, invalidate concerning the name of the Kaphtorim. So, this proves that you, that y'all, invalidated the oath. Thereupon the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Israel, the Israelites, entered the land of the Philistines, entered the land of the Philistines, and possessed it, and possessed Har. So too, when the Arameans said to Eov, said to Joab, "Are you not the sons of Yaakov? And did not Aram make a covenant with Yaakov, with Jacob, when Laban said, 'This he be witness, and the pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou, the I, shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar to me for harm, for harm, for harm, for harm.'"
Aid
Hadal Hazeh, this he be witness. Aid Hadal Hazeh, we Aidah ha matzera im ani lo evor leka eta Hadal Hazeh we im ata lo ata evor helaya eta Hadal Hazeh we eta ha matzera Hazot,
Hazot,
Le,
Hazot,
Le,
Hara'ah,
this he be witness, and the pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, the I, and that thou, the I, shall not pass over this heap and this pillar to me, to I, Le Ra'ah, for harm,
for evil.
Joab is to reply, "But were not the Arameans first to pass over this pillar with intent, li ra'ah, intent to harm for evil? Indeed, on his way to curse Israel, Bil'am, Balaam admitted in Bamidbar in Numbers 23:7, Balak, the king of Moab, bringeth me from Aram. Did not Balaam admit this, saying, Ninaam, Yanachenia Balak, from Aram, Balak, brought I, Ninaam, Yanachenia Balak. And this was not the only time that the Arameans passed over this pillar.
This pillar, with intent, li-ra'ah,
for harm, intent to harm, intent li-ra'ah, for evil. For scripture's testimony in the days of Cushan Rishathaim is that the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram Naharaim, even in Judges. In Judges chapter 3, verse 8. Vayacharafa Yahuwah bi Yisrael wayima kareima biyada kushana risha atai melek rama nahirai. Therefore the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Yisrael, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram Naharaim. Wayacharafa Yahuwah bi Yisrael wayayima kareima biyada kushana rish atai melek rama nahirai. Thus, like this, Aram condemns itself by two iniquities, one of the time of Balaam, of Balaam, and one of the time of Cushan. Kushan Rish Atayim. Kushan Rish Ta'ayim. So after they of the great assembly, the Sanhedrin, taught him this, David said, to the eternal, Laminatzayach, in praise of the lily of testimony, Al Shushan Edut, Miktam of David, for the teaching of the sages. Miktam le David le Lamed.
Lamed. Lamed.
Hear in today's daily psalm, the opening verse, the superscription of Mizmor, Samek, Psalm 60, Psalm LX. Laminat Sayach al Shushan Edut. Miktam le David le Lamed. And David said, to the eternal Laminat Sayach, in praise of the lily of testimony, Allah Shushana Edut, Michtam, Lidawid of David, Lilamaid, for the teaching, concerning the teaching of the sages,
of the sages, of the sages.
Bihatsoto, Aram Naharaim and Aram Zoba, Bihatsoto. Et Rama Nahiraima et Rama Tsova. What is meant by the word Behatsoto? By the word Behatsoto. What is meant by the word Behatsoto?
Behatsoto.
These words that are usually rendered when he strove with. Behatsoto.
When he strove with.
It means that Joab said, Aram on fire.
Here,
Hebraically, this is derived from the word tzut. Behatzoto, and Joab set Aram on fire. Behatzoto, deriving behatzoto from tzut,
set on fire.
Or some of the sages say it may mean that he riddled it. He riddled it with arrows. He riddled it with arrows. Apparently reading the word bi-chatz-oto, reading chatz-oto, and deriving it from chetz, arrow. Again, it may mean that he took up, here, perhaps deriving chatz-oto from chetzi, half. Since Joab, did not divide the two Arams. According to this variant Targum interpretation, it may be that the commentator thought here of the word, the Hebrew word, chutz,
outside, chutz, outside. The translation would then be, quote, he deported. He deported the people of Aram Naharaim. He deported, put them outside, put them bechutz, 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 bechutz,
bechutz, bechutz, because of their chutzpah, put them outside. It may mean that he took up people of Aram Naharaim and set them in Aram Tzova, in Aram Zoba, and that he set the people of Aram Tzova in Aram Naharaim.
Naharaim.
Job, Eob, returned and smote Edom. Here, hebraically, today's daily psalm, Psalm 60, the 2b part of the verse. Vayashav Yoav, and Joab returned,
Vayak,
and smote, Vayak, and smote et Edom, and smote Edom, Vayashav Yoav, Vayak, et Edom,
Vayadom,
Elohim, Senachtanu, Feratzitanu, Anafta, Teshuvev lanu, O Elohim, thou hast cast us, cast I and I off. Thou, the eye, has broken us, I and I down. Thou, the eye, has been angry. O restore I and I again. Elohim, Zenachitanu, Zratitanu, Anafta, Teshuvev lanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, I cast you off because you cast me off. I cast the eye off because the eye cast I off. As Scripture says, even in Hosea 8 and 3, Israel hath cast off that is good. The enemy shall pursue him.
Zanach Yisrael Tov.
Oh yes, Yerdefo, Israel. Israel have cast off that which is good. Zanach, Yisrael Tob. The enemy, Oyev. The enemy shall pursue him. Oyev.
Yerdefo.
But though thou hast been angry with me, with thy turn, and come back to me, come back to I, as is said in Isaiah, Isaiah 12 and 1, where it reads, though thou wast angry with me, may thine anger be turned away, and do thou comfort me, for though thou wast angry with me, against me, ki anafta, 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 anafta,
Yashov,
thine anger is turned away, Yashov, apikha, uate nachmeni, and thou comfortest I. Thou hast made the land to shake. Thou, the eye, hast cleft it. Here, Mizmor Samech, Hebraically, right here, Psalm 60, here, the fourth verse. Thou hast made the land to shake. Here, Ashtaha, Eret. Thou hast cleft it. Pitzamtaha. Thou hast cleft her. Thou hast made the land to shake. Here ashta eretz. Thou, the eye, has cleft it, has cleft her.
Pitz amtaha.
The eye has split. When Joab said, O God, thou, the eye, has cast us off. Elohim, zenachtanu. The eye has zenachtanu, has cast I and I off. The earth shook because she was cleft, she was split and rolling under his feet. Joab found himself unable to continue fighting. Thereupon David stood up and prayed, heal her breaches thereof, for she tottereth,
for
Rifah, Shevareha, heal the breaches thereof. Refa, Shebareha, Ki, Matah, for it, for she tottereth. Ki, Matah, Refa, Shebareha, Ki, Matah, What is the literal meaning of Pitsamtah? Pitsamtaha. What is the literal meaning of Pitsamtah? Thou has cleft it. The eye has cleft her. It means that thou, the eye, has split apart the doors of the earth. Thus in Aramaic, the word for sections. In the verse found in Yirmeyahu in Jeremiah 36, verse 23, where it reads, when Jehudi had read three or four sections, we find the word is pitsimin, 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 splittings, pitsimin. Our masters also speak of, quote, a potsherd big enough to place between one split board, one pitsim, pitsim, and an other, Vayihiya kiya karoa Yehudi shalosha delatota. And here, Hebraically, the fifth verse of today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech, here that reads, thou, the eye, has made thy people to see hard things. Thou has made I and I to drink the wine of astonishment, to drink the wine of astonishment. Tar Eila, here. Here, Ita, Ameka, Kasha. Hishakitanu Yain Tar'ela. Thou hast made thy people to see hard things. Thou, the eye, hast made thine eye to drink the wine of staggering. Hirita Ameka Kasha. Hishakitanu Yain Tar'ela. The wine of staggering. Yain Tar'ela. How is Tar'ela read literally? It is read as tar, to tear, and ola, its yoke, and thus intimates that the yoke of Torah has been torn from us, I and I. And so some amend this here, Dr. Saul Lieberman's suggestion, the ET has olam. Olam, world, olam, world, olam. Which some say does not make any sense. Thus, the word tar'ela being read as tar, to tear, and ola, its yoke, thus intimating that the yoke of Torah, Jah's direction, instructions, has been torn from us, from I and I. Here, the next verse of Mizmor Samech, Psalm 60. Psalm LX, here, in this Midrash, in this study, where it reads, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed. Thou, the eye, has given a banner to them that fear, that reverence thee, the eye, that it may be displayed. Natata, liyareka nes. Le hita no seis, mitne koshet selah. On what account was it given? For the sake of arrow straight going. For the sake of arrow straight going. That is, for the sake of the truth forever. For the sake of the truth, mitne koshet Selah, for the sake of the truth forever, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and answer me, and answer I. Lima'an, ye chalutzuna, ye dideka, hoshi'ah, yemineka, ve'enenu, and answer me, wa'enenu, and answer I, and answer I and I.
Answer I and I.
The phrase, with thy right hand, yeminecha, with the eye, yemen, the eye, right hand, yeminecha.
This alludes to HaTorah, to the direction, instruction, the teaching, the majesty that was given with Ha'el, Elohim's right hand. As it is said even in Devarim and Deuteronomy 33:2, from his right hand went a fiery law.
Fiery
for
law.
Them.
Fiery
for
law. Them.
Fiery
for
law.
Them.
Fiery
for
law. Mimino, Eshadat, Lamo. Mimino, Eshadat, Eshadat, Lamo. At his right hand, Mimino, was a fiery law. Eshadat, Lamo. For them. Mimino, Ashmino, Ashmino, Ashmino,
Ashmino,
Ashmino, Ashmino, Ashmino, Ashmino, Ashmino, Ashmino, Ashmino, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, dost thou seek this hand? Does the eye seek this hand? I shall give it thee the eye again, as Scripture says in Isaiah 11:11, where it reads, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people.
Oh, his people. Oh,
his people. Wahaya bayom hahu. Yosif Adonai shenita yado. Liknota eta shar ammo. And it shall come to pass. Wahaya. 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 And it shall be. It shall come to pass. Wahaya bayom hahu. In that day, Bayom, Hahu, Ahu, Yosef Adonai, Adonai, Shenita Yado, that Adonai, Adonai, Yosef Adonai will set his hand, Shenit Yado, set his hand again the second time, Liknota Eta Shar Ammo, to recover the remnant. The remnant of Ammo, of his people, Liknota et Shar Ammo. Wahaya bayom hahu, Yosef Adonai, Shenit Yado, Liknota et Shar Ammo, Ammo, Ammo. Gilead is mine, Li Gilad, Gilead, Gilad is mine, Li Gilead, hear, 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 the 8th verse, Mizmor Samek. Ha'el, the true good, the true God, said, I am he who wrought a miracle for Yiftah, the Gileadites, for Jephthah, the Gileadite. And I am also he who wrought a miracle for Gideon, the son of Joash, of the tribe of Manasseh. His deliverance, thy deliverance was thy deliverance for only an hour, only an hour, but in the everlasting Zaman Haba, Eta Haba, Ketz, time I were to come, I shall deliver, I deliver you through the Messiah, HaMoshiach, the son of Ephraim, and through HaMoshiach, through the Messiah, Ben David of the tribe of Judah, and through the Messiah, the son of David of the tribe of Yehuda, of the tribe of Judah, tribe of Judah, Ephraim, Ephraim also is the strength of my beginning. Where Ephraim, Ma'oz Roshi, is the strength of my beginning, my head. Ephraim also is the defense of my head. Where Ephraim, Ma'oz Roshi, HaMoshiach, the Messiah, then Ephraim, the son of Ephraim, will be the first to take up on himself, upon himself, the yoke of kingship. But Yehuda, Judah is my scepter. Yehuda mechokki, Judah is mechokki, my scepter. Yehuda mechokki, that is HaMoshiach, the Messiah, Ben David, Ben David, the son of David, will finally rule. Moab's my washpot. Moab, Sir Rachzi, Moab. Sir Rachzi is my wash pot. Pot. Hear, hear, hear. The next verse, Mizmor Samek, the Yod verse. As it is said, quote, and they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines on the west. Together, together, they shall spoil the children of the east. They shall put forth their hand upon Edom and Moab, upon Edom and Moab, as we have in Isaiah 11:14. Hence, hear, 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 hear my words, the words, the words. Moab, Sir Rachzi. Moab is my wash pot. This means that Moab, the Moors, Moab is like a pot that a man pushes away after he has washed his feet in it. In it. Upon Edom do I cast my shoe. Upon Edom, upon Edom, all Edom, Ashlik Na'ili, Ashlik Na'ili, Ashlik Na'ili, all Edom, Ashlik Na'ili, upon Edom, upon Edom, do I cast my shoe, Ashlik Na'ili, to trample it underfoot, as is said even in Yeshayahu, Esaias, Isaiah, in Isaiah 26 and 6, where it reads, the foot shall trample it down. This is the foot of HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. For Scripture says, even in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah 63 and 3, yea, I trod them in mine anger and trampled them in my fury. Even the feet of the poor, from Yeshayahu, Isaiah 26 and 6, that is, the King Messiah, Melech HaMoshiach, Moshiach HaMelech, poor and riding upon an ass, poor and riding up on an ass, as Zechariah 9 and 9 reads, will trample Edom down, and so too will the steps of the needy, according to Yeshayahu, Isaiah 26 and 6. That is, the steps of Yisrael, the steps of Israel, of whom it is said even in Judges 6 and 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished, and Yisrael was greatly impoverished. Alai, Peleshet, Hitaro'ai, because of me. Hear. 10th verse, Hebraic, today's daily psalm, Mizmor, Samek, Philistia, Hitaro'ai, because of me. Some take Hitaro'ai to mean be broken, as in the verse Psalm Yeshayahu, Esaias, Isaiah 24:19, the earth is broken down. But others take Hitaro'ai to be a war cry. Hitaro'ai, the words, who will bring me? Who will bring I into the fortified city? Me, Yovelaini Ir Matzor. Who will bring I into the fortified city? According to the 11th verse, Hebraic, of today's daily psalm, this allude to the war against Rome, the war against Rome. Me, Yovelaini Ir Matzor. Matzor. The words, who will lead me? Who will lead I to Edom? Who will lead I to Edom? Mia nachani ad Edom. Who will lead I ad Edom to Edom? Mia nachani ad Edom. Who will lead I to Edom? This alludes to the war against Constantinople, the war against the Byzantine Empire, or Constantinople, at the time, the I was at the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, the children of Israel will find themselves in great trouble. And they will pray, wilt not thou, O Elohim, that had cast us off, and thou, O Elohim, that didst not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble, will not the I give us help from trouble. Hello, Ata, Elohim. The Nachatani has not the eye. Hello, Ata, Elohim. The Nachatani cast I and I off with law takes a Elohim. This evil tenu, and thou the eye goest not forth, not forward, O Elohim. With law takes a Elohim with I and I host bits ibotenu within I and I host bits ibotenu. And when they see Nehemiah, the son of Hushiel, dead before the gates of Jerusalem, hear, Nehemiah, the son of Hushiel, They say that is Messiah, the son of Joseph. Some say the forerunner of Moshiach, Ben David. This is one interpretation of, and when they see Nehemiah, the son of Hushiel, dead before the gates of Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, Arasalam, they will say, for vain is the help of man, for vanity, for vain. Havalanu Ezra Mitzar, give us help from the adversary, from the Tsar. Havalanu Ezrat Mitzar, give us help from trouble. But when they see Nehemiah, the comfort of Jah, Jehovah, the son of Hushiel, dead before the gates of Yerushalayim, they will say, Vishava Teshuat Adam, for vain is the Teshuat, the help, the salvation of Adam, Vishava Teshuat Adam, for vain is the salvation of Adam, Vishava Teshuat Adam, through Elohim, we, I and I shall do valiantly, Belohim, not iseh chayil, we would do chayil, we would do valiantly, Belohim, in the true God, Be-Elohim, Belohim, not iseh chayil, we will do chayil, not iseh chayil, not iseh chayil, not iseh chayil, we will do chayil, for he that will tread down our adversaries, for he it is
with who
Yavus Areinu. Vihu Yavus Areinu. Vihu Yavus Areinu. For it is he,
for it is he,
for it is he,
for
he,
it is
he, that will do it, that will do it, that will the treading down of our adversaries. Through Elohim, we will do power, we will do chayil. Belohim, na iseh chayil, wuhu, yabuz, sarein.